tune in to Proper Sports' brand new late night radio show with the Castleford Tigers player Jai Hitchcocks. What's it called again, Jai?
In Between the Sheets.
And what can we expect on your brand new show?
You play romantic love songs, like, we'll get a bit of Luther Vandross. I'm going to take you back to Old Town. Brady Bunch.
Okay. What about yourself? What are you going to be telling the listeners about yourself?
It's the blue eyes. Deep pools, Amazon blue.
And finally, what time is it going to be on?
After 9.
Then he pants to Jai on Babe Station.
Just like that, sat in his pants.
With a bit of, like, roulette up in the top corner as well. You can bet and look, not just a pretty face.
Well, unfortunately, In Between the Sheets doesn't exist, but you can join Jai Hitchcocks and Ollie Holmes for the 6 to 8 debate here on Proper Sport Radio. You can ask the lads about anything and everything. There'll be plenty of discussion about rugby league. Trust me, it's well worth a listen. Join us Tuesdays, 6 to 8pm.
6 to 8 debate, ladies and gentlemen. We're coming up with the goods for you. You're welcome.
This is Rugby League on Proper Sport.
Good evening and welcome. It's that time of week again. Every Monday night, 2 hours live rugby league debate here on Proper Sport. It's been another good week. If you're a St Helens fan, they are still 4 points clear at the top. What about the comeback from the Warriors? The Dragons collapsing remain bottom of the table. Castleford spluttered to a win at Huddersfield. Warrington, 5 on the spin for them. They sit in the top four. The Rhinos just keep picking up the points. But it's all going wrong for Wakefield. 5 defeats on the run for them. Widnes, desperately hit by injuries, lose at Hulkington Rovers, who keep their hopes of a top 8 spot alive. And Salford, beaten at home by Warrington, remain in the bottom 4. Elsewhere, the Wolfpack, top of the pile to lose, and Featherstone in hot pursuit. What's going wrong at London? I'm sure Scoy will have something to say about that. 3 successive defeats for the Broncos. They're only 2 in front of the Centurions and Halifax as the race for the top 4 of the Betfred Championship opens up. Big win for Workington. They are in the top 5 now after knocking over the Bradford Bulls in what was a probably fire encounter on and off the field on Sunday afternoon. Doncaster top of the pile on points difference, sorting up nicely in Betfred League 1. Surely only an idiot would want to get rid of the League 1 competition. We'll talk about that and more. As ever, the legend is with us, Gary Schofield. Richard Shawright is here. Phil Kaplan as well with us, who watched the Rhinos against Trinity yesterday. We'll get that and more. This is Rugby League on Proper Sport.
You're listening to Rugby League on Proper Sport.
Now, before we start, we've got some big breaking news because we've now got a sponsor. Yeah, it's all happening. Proper Rugby League is brought to you by Pontefract Racecourse, who hosts their 3rd annual Rugby League evening on Monday the 11th of June. Meet the players and coaches from the Castleford Tigers, Wakefield Trinity, Huddersfield Giants and Featherstone Rovers will all be coming along. There's a great night of racing on offer with 6 top quality races, including the Mr. Wolf Sprint, which commemorates one of Ponty's all-time greats. Bring your season ticket along and get grandstand and paddock entry to Pontefract's Rugby League evening for just a fiver. Or with VIP tickets at £42 for adults and £10 for children, it's a perfect chance to get up close to your rugby league favourites. For all the details, or to book your tickets, go to pontefract-races.co.uk. We have been there the last couple of years. It is a great night out, and I thoroughly recommend going. You might even bump into us if you're unlucky enough, but there you go.
Just don't ask going for a ticket.
Although you're very quiet there, Phil. Very quiet. Almost like you're off mic. I can't hear you. We'll sort that out in a minute. You might need a... Do you need a seat to sit on? Scully, we'll be at the races, mate, won't we? We'll be there, having a chat with the boys. You'd recommend anyone going, wouldn't you, if you're a rugby fan, all the lads?
We've already had it's a great night as well, and it's a great atmosphere at Pontefract. And I say, I had a few comments I see regarding the Guinness flat cap, so the Guinness flat cap will be on again. I'll be ready, yeah. And hopefully I can give our
list. You won the worst dressed man award, I think, didn't you? It's when David Fee got hold of you by the throat. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but I'm still talking, so he didn't grab it that hard, did he?
No, we haven't even had a word with him about that.
But one thing for sure, yeah, it's a great night for everybody, and all the lads, they really enjoyed themselves. The mix with all the supporters who were there, and also two of the punters at Ponty Races. Plenty of autographs, plenty of photograph opportunities there, not just with the players, but also to the lads here at Proper Sport. So get yourself down there, and really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am indeed. Phil, can we hear you now?
I do hope not.
I'm not sure. Still Richard, you talk to me.
Hello.
Yeah, good evening. That's better. Yeah, 5 defeats on the spin for the Wakefield Trinity side.
The bubble has indeed burst.
No, the bubble has burst?
No, you look at those last 3 defeats, and is it by a total of 8 points or something? We're trying to work it out to the Challenge Cup winners, the Grand Final winners and the League Leaders Shield winners of last year. Wigan and Boynton have improved.
There's someone's clutching at straws here.
Oh, yeah. Wigan and Boynton have improved, and it's all the referee's fault. Sorry. In all the games refereed by Chris Kendall, we've never won or something. Someone will come up with some crap statistic.
On.
I nearly swore there.
Yeah, you did.
But I don't like those stats anyway. But the question would be, is why are Wakefield losing these close games, especially close games in which they are leading, which they did in 2 of those over 3 over Easter?
It's all right keeping saying they could have won, they should have won, Gary, and I've said that. I wasn't there at the weekend. Phil was. We'll hear from him in a minute. The last few I have been at, and they could and should have won them all, but could have, would have, should have, don't put 2 points on the league table.
Well, exactly, and the reason why they're in 7th spot, Mark, is because they can't win them games. You know, when you look at... Certainly when you look at the 2 of the big teams who are up there, Leeds always find a way to win. You look at the way Wigan came back against Catalans, all right. Catalans are getting a little bit disciplined for the last 30 minutes, but they find a way to win. They have that something special. They have that something different quality. And at this moment in time, Wakefield don't seem to have that. And I was a little bit surprised that Finney wasn't playing at the weekend, because if they think Ryan Amps is going to be the answer at number 7, I don't really think he's going to be the answer to replace Finney. And with Wakefield being 20 points to 12 up front, that's what they needed. Like, Leeds find a way to win. Wigan find a way to win. If Finney would have been on the pitch, I would imagine for the last 20, 15 minutes, he would have slowed the game. He would have played with that smartness. That's what he would have done. He would have controlled the pace of the game from there. So, yeah, it's all right saying we got beat by 2, got beat by 3, got beat by 4. Not good enough. The reason why Wakefield are 7th is because they have played the teams above them, the top 4. Is it top 4 or top 5 now? Well, they've played the 5 sides, I think they're playing now. The bottom 4, the one that started the season. But now questions have been asked. Can they under the pressure? Can they under the pressure? Everybody knows they're a quality side. Everyone knows they're a target. Everybody knows now that to Wakefield, you've got to play pretty well against them for the full 80 minutes. The opposition are playing for the full 80 minutes, Mark. Quite simply, Wakefield can't handle the 80 minutes.
Interesting. Phil, you were there. Hopefully we can hear Phil.
Well, hopefully for some, but not others.
I think I can hear you. I think you seem very quiet. Go on, anyway.
I'm always quiet, reserved, you know that.
First of all, I thought Chris Kendall was fantastic. So anybody who is criticising the referee, I thought, again, he made an allowance for both teams that it was the 3rd game in 8 days. And I think we got a better game than we had any right to expect. And that's down to the 2 teams who I thought were excellent, produced 9 tries between them, some real quality amongst them on both sides, and a referee that just wanted to see the players play. A terrific game, really enjoyable. And Wakefield probably didn't score enough points in the first half when they were dominant. They went all guns blazing, and then Chris Chestrud used all 4 of his substitutes within that first half, so he front-loaded the game. They just didn't get far enough ahead, and then as they tired a little bit more in the second half, and the likes of Hampshire and Miller were dropping back a little bit rather than taking the team forward, and they both played well, but towards the end of the game when they needed to be playing it at the Leeds end of the field, they couldn't find the right kick or pass selection. Brian McDermott kept a couple of his subs back, most notably Brad Dwyer, who he didn't put on until about 20 minutes to go, and Leeds just finished with a wet sail and probably just about deserved to win it. But credit to both teams, it was a real quality game when most of what we've seen this round hasn't been very
Phil,
good.
Phil, just going to ask a question now with Hampshire. You know, can he fill the boots of what Liam Finn brings?
It's a very
different... He's injured, though, isn't he, Finn, apparently? He's injured.
Oh, he's injured, is he? All right, OK. I just thought that... you know, they used to appear, give him a rest. But no, you've got to play your best players.
It's just a very different way of playing. Because with Finn, what you know you're going to get is you're going to be playing in the right part of the field. Mm. If you're under pressure at your end, he'll produce the 50, 60, 70 metre kick, either into touch or turning a fullback round and saying, look, if you're tired, you've still got to come 90 metres. Whereas I think Hampshire and Miller, it's more ball through the hand. There was a very late try that Wakefield scored that gave him probably a little bit of hope without enough time remaining, where Hampshire took the ball beautifully across the line from a scrum and slipped out a great pass to Max Jowett. So that, I think you just have to change to suit the players that you've got, and Hampshire has speed. Miller just stopped taking the line on in the second half, and he'd been very good at that in the first half. But part of it is down to the fatigue of playing three games in 8 days. It's how best you marshal your resources. The interesting one, talking to Craig Murdoch, because we were doing the commentary for Proper Sport yesterday, was what do you do with Max Jowett? You know, if you're losing games by very narrow margins, you're going to bring Scott Grix back, because it might be that he's going to be the difference that's going to turn that around. But Jowett did nothing wrong. He's a kid who needs to play. And if he isn't playing in the first team, where is he playing?
Now?
I'm not sure, because I know he wants to play for Wakefield. He looks like a Wakefield player. He brings some vitality at the back. Again, it's different players do different things. Scott Grix isn't blessed with great pace, but Max Jowett is. And at what point do you look at a youngster and say he just needs to play every week?
Was Grix rested yesterday?
I'm not sure. If he was, then again, interesting decision if you know that Finn's out injured,
because you're taking Grix being better at
some
half
of your
back.
Yeah, well, you're taking some experience out of that spine. And that Kyle Wood came on quite early, scored a try with I think his second touch, and really pepped Wakefield up. But if you play that card early, it's hard to then replay it later in the game.
I like it. I like him as a player, Cowell. But also as well, Matt, for Wakefield this week, they've got St Helens coming down there, haven't they? You know, so do you know what Wakefield got to do this week? The last five victories, what's been 2-4, whatever point it's been, they've just been minds of the beating. What Wakefield got to do now? Stop feeling sorry for themselves. Stop feeling sorry for yourselves, because you've got the big boys coming, the best side in Super League, head and shoulders above anybody else at this moment in time. So listen, Wakefield, if you are looking realistically of being maybe a top six side, or certainly being a top four side, as I said a couple of weeks, well, 8 days ago now, over the Easter period, it was going to be a marker situation for them. They've had a nightmare Easter. They've got the, I would say, elect champions coming there very early in the season, 11 games into the season from there, St Helens. Wakefield have got to stop feeling sorry for themselves and put a marker down, not just with a performance, but a victory over St Helens.
There were two players playing for Wakefield yesterday who, if they follow their example, they'll be fine. The first one, Matty Ashurst, who we absolutely know is going to run his blood to water, and did again yesterday, was astonishing.
Should be in the England squad.
And picked up a deserved try, because, again, a hoisted kick that was allowed to bounce, and who was the guy that was the first to the breakdown? Ashurst had no right to be there. But the other one who I thought played really, really well for them yesterday, and if they're looking for a lead, Keegan Hurst had a fabulous game for them. Played a lot of minutes, was prepared to take two drives out of every six, made a lot of ground. So I think that the constituent parts of what Wakefield need to be good are all there, but they just can't seem to harness it for the full 80 minutes at the moment. The danger is, and we've said, you know, they've established themselves as a top eight team, if they lose to St Helens, they're almost getting dragged back into that bottom four. They don't need that. They need to knock off a big team and say, right, we're at the halfway stage, this is our statement of intent. But, you know, if they lose...
Well, Salford play Huddersfield,
and they've got eight points, they start to be dragged back into...
Rich, come on. It's not. It's top eight. It's top eight, top four, man. But they've got to start winning.
They have, and they would have beaten them witness but for the snow. So this run wouldn't be as bad as it is.
But it is.
Yeah, but that's against the bottom four side anyway, Rich.
But that might be a midweek game that they've got to fit in as well, which isn't ideal.
Mm. Lots of tweets and messages about Wakefield, so we'll go through all those first of all. Sam says, looking like Wakefield could get pulled into a fight for the top eight, need a win quick. Pretty much what we're saying there. Adam says, no Grix, Caton Brown, Arundel, Finn, Fifita in England. Wakefield, they're doing okay. And sooner or later it'll click together and we'll give someone a good beating.
When you go for the top four, that's not enough, in my opinion.
The trouble with sooner or later is we're very nearly at the halfway stage of the regular season.
The split is, like you said, it's coming this week. You, apart from the magic weekend, you're at the halfway point.
Brian says, Wakey are much improved but haven't yet got what it takes to win the big games. We're underdogs and can't cope with the pressure at the top. We're also very enjoyable to watch, much better than Leeds' dull but efficient five drives and a kick. Rather see exciting losing rugby by Trin than watch boring Leeds. We all like Leeds.
I'm pleased to say the crowd, 6,700 plus, wasn't it?
I think Leeds played some great stuff as well. And Callum Watkins is absolutely on fire at the moment.
6,000 despite the game being on the radio. Mark says, Wakefield weren't robbed. They were their own.
Yeah, but we had 360,000 listening.
Oh, I know.
Did you not know that?
They could have gone. They could have turned up and paid. Mark says, Wakefield weren't robbed. They were their own worst enemy. Chesa spoke in a post-match interview of six players letting the team down because their individual defence wasn't at the races. Wakefield can't see a game out. Could have, should have, would have isn't good enough. Wakefield have probably ruined their top six credentials, and if they don't pick up two wins out of their next three, top eight is going to be difficult. The referee isn't to blame. The team
points,
is to blame.
The 2 points off the top six with a game in hand?
Yeah.
And come on!
It's not crisis. They're not losing heavily, but they just, for their own morale, need to knock off a top two.
Of course they do. They lost a lot of big games last year, They needed to beat Saints at home to get the top four. They lost. They needed to beat Saints at home to get in the playoffs at the end of the season. They lost. They needed to go to Hull and win. Yeah. They lost narrowly on all occasions. I'm not but it is, you know, we've got to question it. We applaud Leeds who have this ability when they need to dig out a win, and it's all right. Someone says, "Oh, it's boring," blah blah blah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all about winning.
It's all about winning. And Leeds, well, as I say, as we know, Leeds find a way to win. And so did Wigan found a way to win on Saturday. All right, maybe some again disciplined by the Catalans, but also as well, Mark. I was saying to Phil and Rich before we came on air. For me, at this moment in time, I don't think we've seen too much. Well, a rate rot of quality, but for me at this moment, and next week we're nearly there to the halfway split, and I think there's only three sides at this moment who are looking to get to Old Trafford.
Go on,
who
then.
Are good enough: Leeds, Saints, and Wigan. And then the others, Cass, Warrington, Hull, and Wakefield. I've just not seen that quality where it's good to get them to Old Trafford. I've not seen it. Wakefield, they can't play for the full 80 minutes. Hull haven't got enough quality because of the creativity is not there with Sneed and Albert Kelly. Warrington, flat to deceive
five
for me.
Five wins on the spin, yeah. Scoey.
Sorry?
Going the right way. They've got five on the spin. Warrington.
I'll buy into that. But still, you know, against the poor Salford side as well from there. Yeah, they're winning. They're getting themselves into position from there. But I'm not seeing that quality where, when it's becoming pressurised situations, when it's becoming that champion players, when it's looking for that quality, what you're looking for, I'm not seeing it in them four sides. So for me at this moment, I'm saying now, there's only three sides that are going to be going, or a chance of going to Old Trafford. That's Leeds, Wigan and St Helens.
The really interesting one there is Cass that you're leaving out, because there is inconsistency, but there's something that Darryl Powell is identifying, that there's no ruthlessness there at the moment, that, you know, they're dropping away in second halves, and that's not like Castleford. And it might be that part of that is obviously they are the target this year, so there's a lot of work being done on negating where everybody knows their threat is, but also they were a team that had two different attacking prongs last year. The left hand side, fantastic, loads of tries. And then Zach Hardacre was the X factor player coming off Luke Gayle, giving
it's
him
not there, Phil. Give You've it got no, to let it go.
Give it, no, but they haven't come up with something that replaces it.
I don't know. Truman seems to be doing all right. Yeah,
but not on an 80-minute basis.
Is it not? All right, here's one for you, Gary. You're a player. Is it not? Last year, look, they're winning by 60. They're brilliant. They're all quick to put the boot in when they didn't win at the end. And they're thinking it's all about winning. Don't need to win by 50. What's the point in winning by 50? As long as we win, we're not bothered.
I think Casford have learned that as well, haven't they? They have learned that. But I think what Casford now, and I'm not telling Darryl Powell how to coach his side one little bit, but Luke Gayle has been found out on the left-hand side. So what Cass have to do now, they have to come with some different ploys on the right side. They have got plenty of tackling. Look how well Jake Webster plays on there, and Minikin as well. He can score the try. So what they got to try and do to break teams up is go down the right side more, and then Luke Gayle just to be on the fresh air from a point of view from there, because Luke has been found out. He's been found out on that left-hand side. He's nowhere near as critical as what it was last year. All right, we'll forget about the Hardacre situation. So what Cass have to do now is come up with a different solution, and that's got to go down the right side.
Seems to be doing all right. I like him
as a fullback.
Because I know what you've been saying, that you're born a fullback, you're not made.
He's not a natural fullback. He's not a natural
fullback. Can he make it at fullback?
But what he is more confident and more natural than what Roberts is. Roberts doesn't like playing there. You can see that without a shadow of a doubt. So if Darrell's going to develop him into a fullback, then he's going to be like a second standoff playing there, like say like they all do, you know, playing behind from there. But what Cass have to do, instead of going down that left-hand side, because it's too predictable. Warrington, when they played Warrington at the Water Splash last week, they read it too easily. All they did was just stack the left-hand side, and Cass really couldn't break them down. Shenny were just getting frustrated from there. So what Cass have to do, they have to vary it a little bit and go down the right inside a lot more and use Webster.
Like Wakefield at the moment, sadly, this programme can't win. Remember last week we had complaints that we were talking about Leeds all the time.
Oh,
Carl's been on. Sorry, I accidentally tuned into Wakefield Fan Club Radio. I was told it was proper sport, all things were believed.
Carl, just switch it off, son. Switch it off. You don't like it, switch it off. Honestly, it's 2 hours, mate. It's not a 5-minute show. 2 hours. We're not going to talk about Wakefield for 2 hours.
However, Caroline is talking about Wakefield, but she's a Hull fan, so it's all right. I went to Wakefield yesterday, Hull FC fan, but we wanted to watch some rugby. Ashurst is outstanding. The game in general was great, but sick of Leeds fans moaning about the ground. You get them told, Claire. They're doing their best with that. If you don't like it, don't go. Don't moan on when we go for the game. Also, saw Phil and waved, but he didn't wave back. My mum was most disappointed.
Oh, stop waving now.
Phil,
I never assume anybody's going to be waving at me.
He's been on this back, chat. He's all gone off again.
Never.
Blanking the crowd.
Phil, I've got to ask a question. Was I missed in the media room? Was Alice asking why I wasn't there? Or was I there? Was I sneaking about?
I'm 10 minutes now. If you say that again, you're off. You'll be joining Carl. Bang.
I'm asking the question.
It's fair to say your son was pleased you weren't there.
Yeah.
That's a bit harsh.
As were the other 6,730 odd people that were there as well.
Can I apologise to
Caroline,
because I obviously didn't see her, otherwise I would have run over.
You know what, Phil Kaplan's got more fans than any of us.
He has.
All put
he
together.
Has.
He's got more fans than any of us put together. He has, honestly.
Whatever fans you had, I've just seen a picture of that you in that T-shirt. I thought it were a Wonder Bra advert. vision and awareness. You'll have someone's eye out with that for them.
What about the pectorals? What about the pecs?
Pecs?
Eh?
Is that one of them figure hugging ones?
What about
you know, like them ladies have the dresses. The ladies have the dresses for like the VR.
Do you know? I had to take it off because it was stifling me. It was strangling my body.
Is that what it hurts?
The pecs.
Well, they don't do them any bigger.
Nigel says, "Do proper sport not subscribe to League Weekly?" No, we don't. Simple as that. We buy League Express. It's our favourite paper. They don't pay us.
I have a very good relationship with Mr. Sadler.
Not a very good relationship.
He doesn't pay you. It's not that good relationship.
Not a very good relationship with me, but you don't work.
Do you know what the great thing about Martin? When I ask for any sponsorship, i.e., if I go doing some camps or coaching, any sponsorship whatsoever for balls or or for bibs or whatever,
shirts that fit,
whether it's going to be you know a couple of hundred quid or £500 or whatever, not an issue whatsoever. So he's very good. He's very good to me, Mr. Sadler. He's indeed from a point
of
view.
Is he going to sponsor your barbecue? Can you get some ale in, or will that do with this barbecue?
Get some ale in. I can't wait for it to start getting warm again. It's full of it.
Don't be saying that. The robbers will be around.
Garage full of alcohol in Belle Isle's shop.
You'll need a forklift truck to get it all.
Anyway, but
I think by the time you get on the door,
that's a great T-shirt. Vision and awareness. Everybody,
it'd
please.
Be a great T-shirt if it fits.
Everybody, please, just have that vision and awareness. There you go.
Coming soon.
Eh?
You can buy them.
It's good. It'll look good on Rich, you know, someone with a proper physique, but on you, geez.
We've got merchandise now. This is where we're going.
Merchandise. Yeah. We've got a sponsor, we've got merchandise.
And you've got the ideal male model here to model it for you.
Danny Brooks. It's going to be like Danny Brough in a minute. Hang on, you've got a sponsor, we've got merchandise. Any chance, lads?
Yeah, well.
Marquee signing.
Listen, you've got the ideal male model here. You've got it!
Well, Phil, we ain't got any baby sizes for Phil.
We're live on Facebook, it's the future. You know, we used to eat fish and chips. Everyone does that now. You know, we are the pioneers of rugby league broadcasting in the 21st century. We're not the rugby league podcast, that's somebody else, but we are a rugby league podcast.
Carl has come on, he said, "I'm still listening, you can't ban me." Carl, I don't want to ban you, mate, but we're going to, you know, the big game of the weekend.
What do you want to talk about? Tell us what you want to talk about. We will talk about it. We are guided by audience telling us what to do.
It's bad news for Caroline because she's off the Wakefield again next Sunday, which is good news, obviously.
Yeah.
But she's expecting a wave if you're there, Phil. Are you going to be there on Sunday?
I have a feeling I might be at Bradford for there the start go. Of the Women's Super League, which I'm really looking forward to. Did Caroline stay for the physical disability game afterwards?
I was going to ask you about
that.
That
was sensational.
Didn't win again, did they?
No, Wakefield won.
Get
Wakefield won easy.
Get
in. But it's back on that.
Why are you?
44-10.
I looked at the team. Have you seen the team for the Wakefield side?
Yes. Yeah. Nigel Wright.
I mean, I know Keith Mason played, but there's some big lads in that team, isn't there? I wouldn't fancy exactly any of them.
Nigel Wright, Alan Hunt, Keith Mason, all played. Yeah. Mm. It was just fantastic. If you really want to see heroism at its absolute finest, watch a game of physical disability rugby league.
You know what I'm jealous of? It's the fact that those guys get to say they've played for Leeds, yeah. they've played for
They
Wakefield.
Wear the shirt.
We don't get that.
With
We've
passion.
Never had that chance, have we?
It means everything. It means absolutely. And, you know, it is no quarter given rugby league. There is no concessions are made to whatever anybody is suffering from. They wear different coloured vests if they need to or shorts if they need to, but they belt each other.
Bomb for Wakefield is keeping hold of your best players. I understand St Helens are sniffing around Alan Hunt already.
Well, he's played one game. That's why he's left for Wakefield,
isn't
it?
Oh, dear.
Caroline also says, if the legend's there, even better, I can tell you off about Sneed in person. Now Sky will be in Oldham. Big game for the Cougars.
Yeah, big Oldham got
Yeah, by the way, I'll ask a question. Caroline, do you ever wave to me when you see me?
Yeah, it's a different kind of wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you wave, if you wave to me, Caroline, I'll give you the wave when I see you. When I see you.
When we went to all, there were a lot of people waving at you with two fingers. But I couldn't make Caroline out in the crowd.
No, big fans of Gold Blend. One for the teenagers there. Yeah. Matthew says we need to take this show national. We are not on the internet.
It's on the internet.
The people in Mozambique are listening to
China.
Kim Jong-un,
China apparently.
Yeah. We're big in Toronto with Nicholas.
There you go.
There he goes. It's all over the world.
We can't tell you.
Toronto playing a game at Fletcher's Field in Ontario. Yes. Interesting. Spreading the game.
Is that Norman Stanley Fletcher's Field? Or?
Absolutely.
Mm. Daniel's asking about Zach Hardacre's ban. No idea.
Nobody knows.
Nor, let's
just play devil's advocate. 2 + 2. Sam Tompkins. Might well be going to Catalan. These rumours are not being batted away. These rumours are in the local press. Now, I would imagine if the local press in Wigan annoyed Sean Wayne somewhat, they won't be allowed in at Wigan anymore. Mm-hmm. They're still allowed in. It says to me, he is off to things. So they need a fullback. Who could that fullback be, Gary?
Yeah, it's an interesting. But I'm bewildered why Sam Tompkins, you know, would be going to Catalan. I am, honestly. I'm bewildered by it because...
You know that forklift truck that will be using for your beer? Before we get our hands on it, it's going to deliver a forklift truck full of money to Sam
It's called professional
Tompkins.
Sport.
Well, if Sam has given up the ambition of winning things, go to Catalan's and pick up the big dollars in. Yeah, all right, I'll buy into that. But there's no way made that Sam, as a player, right, and what is an interesting fact is Catalan's philosophy because, Sam has been a very, very good player, but he's not the player what he was.
I think he's better than what
I'm saying is he's brought a different dimension to his game, so he contributes a hell of a lot more from a creative point of view from there. So he's very, very much contributing to where Wigan are playing, which he's doing a very good job at. But he ain't going to get the Catalans to Wembley. He ain't going to get the Catalans to the top four. He's not going to get the Catalans unless they get another 13 players of the quality of a Sam Tompkins, maybe, but they aren't going to get it. They're not going to get it. And, McAlorum's there, Fawley's there, Tierney's been there. Well, they've only been there because I guess nobody else is wanting them. If they were any good, then St Helens would be chasing. They'd be worried to know. Maybe
he's going to be
sort of
the catalyst that's going to bring the best out of them.
I'd be very surprised. I'm absolutely bewildered. But it's
an all good move from the Dragons?
I think the Dragons have got other issues. But Sam alone... Is it going to bring them the success
they're looking for? But who would you, as a club, would they be better off signing a Sam Tompkins or a Dave Taylor?
Oh, it's a no-brainer.
There you go, then. So it's a step in the right
direction. It is a gesture of intent. And the other thing that, unfortunately, I think that indicates that he is going to be leaving Wigan, say unfortunately for the Wigan fans that are listening, is that Sean Wayne's comment when asked outright this weekend was, "Sam's my player until I'm told otherwise." I think that says, I know he's going. You can see
is it Sam's contract up this year.
Sam's contract is up this year. An option apparently for a further year, it would be a marquee option. You know, you don't not become a marquee player. So Wigan have got to work out their finances, how they've got to be used amongst the young kids in the squad, or perhaps somebody else they may have earmarked who might come in on slightly less money, which is an economic saving, who could perhaps have played at another club and be desperate for a contract to resurrect his career. For the Catalans, they may be prepared to make him their marquee player. So for Sam, it's an easy decision. You remain a marquee player at 29 years old. You're offered a four-year deal. He's shown that he's prepared to go and try his hand in another competition by signing for New Zealand Warriors. He wants to take his young family maybe to sample life in France. I can see it working for everybody, but I think he is the type of player and brings the level of professionalism that perhaps would create a change of attitude along with McAlorum in the south of France.
Well, I tell you, I'm surprised then. If we're going to let him go, and it sounds that way, I'm surprised because for me, Stephen Radford is all right as a fullback, but I'm surprised that Warrington aren't going for him. He would bring hell of a lot more to Warrington than he would do with Catalans. I'll be surprised if he goes to Catalans, and it wouldn't surprise me if he finishes up at Warrington, if he is going to be available.
Catalan.
Gary Carter says on the Catalans and why you might want to go play for them, apart from the sunshine and, you know, beer and all the other stuff in France. 9% tax. Can we move the programme there?
Yeah, can we do our radio show from there?
We're all off. We're all off to the south of France.
We don't know any tax exiles, do we?
No.
A bit further up the coast. get involved on Twitter, at RLNRY, on Facebook. People have asked us about the thing that's gone on over the weekend. There's nothing much we can say about it, because we don't get involved.
What about the Bulls? Because
us as a programme have nothing to do with that part of proper sport. We just sit here and talk about rugby league on a Monday night.
An unfortunate thing.
But let me read you this quote. I'll quote you this. For far too long, many rugby league clubs have been thinking so small that they have now become small in most things they do. They are satisfied to have the steady 5,000 spectators a week. How often have we heard the cry, we can live on 5,000 each home match, if only we could get them. If they would only think big, they would get the big crowds. That was Eddie Waring on a column about television in rugby league from 1951. Nothing has changed.
Do you think whatever the rights and wrongs of the issue, and it does show that it is the Wild West out there, that there isn't a plan or a policy, I'm just astonished that a club would release a statement that gives their opposition all the motivation they would need. If you're going to say something, say it after the game.
Yeah, no, a lot of probably lessons have been learned, you know. That's a good win for Workington, by
fantastic.
The way. Fantastic.
Fantastic.
The big issue is, of course, that this situation is allowed to develop because there is no League One broadcasting deal, which means that because of last year, if Toronto hadn't been able to do what they did last year, this probably wouldn't have happened. Or would have been done in a different way. But why can Toronto deal with Premier Sport and their however many subscribers, because we don't know, what's the difference between that and putting a game on television and putting a game on Facebook?
It's an interesting one.
We need to work out our media policy, don't we, as a sport?
Yeah.
And this is categorically part of it. And, you know, there needs to be integration amongst the clubs themselves in the Championship and League One have sat around a table and agreed we're going to stand together as a unified body. Here's an example where they don't.
Yeah. But yet, I know for a fact that some clubs have already said quite publicly they're happy for the Bulls to come and bring the thing. We're obviously quite proud of the work that our colleagues have done on proper sport with the Bulls, because it is fantastic and the numbers back that up.
And it shows that if clubs work together like York did, that you can have both. You can have an increased attendance at the ground, you can have more awareness for potential sponsors and people coming to the game because they realise it's part of an event, and rather than perhaps sitting at home and maybe...
Has it backfired on Workington? Because how good would it have been for them to put it on Sunday night? Look what we've done today.
I think the issue for me is that all of that is between the clubs and obviously the broadcasting, but I don't know the background or the details of that. I just cannot believe the statement that Bradford issued and the words that they chose to use. So if you're Leon Price, you don't even have to give a team talk. You just go, I'm just pinning this on the wall, I'll leave it with you. Apparently we're amateur. Go out and play.
To be honest with you, though, Phil,
Andrew Chalmers did the job for him.
Yeah, but if players are looking into that, then I think they've got a bit of a mental block. If I'm honest,
I think it's just added motivation. And I think John Keir, obviously felt that his team didn't play to their full potential, but he was playing an opposition that had an extra reason to want to win.
Well, I think what Bradford have got to realise, week in and week out, they've got to perform very well because they are a target, aren't they? Mm. They are the big boys. Everybody wants to knock them off, so it doesn't matter if they're going to be on television or not. Everybody's going to have the attitude where we want to knock you off because you're the big boys, you're the big fish, and we want a piece of
it's a cup final for every team that's playing Bradford this year.
Absolutely.
But it's almost like you're going into a cup final with additional reason to win it for the underdog, and as a coach, John Keir must have thought, my job has just been made more difficult by something that my chairman has said, which he didn't need to say in the manner that he did.
We do live in a bizarre media world at the moment, though, where there are more games from outside the second and third tiers of rugby league on television, traditional broadcast television, not Super League, obviously, from the Championship and League One, than there are in the Championship and League One. Do we need more coverage of games in League One? Well, I don't know, and the Championship, because if you look at some of the attendances for the games in League One at the weekend, are that, you know, and people say there should be more Championship on TV, there should be more of this and more than that. The numbers don't stack up.
No.
And it's a stark reality for people. People need to...
There were 1,300 at a Cumbrian Derby.
Yeah, but all right then. So I'll just come in there, Rich and Mark, and say, well, all right then. Are we not putting it on television because there's no crowd there? What I can tell you is, because I've watched a bit of Championship, well, we have watched a bit of Championship themselves, and even the top sides in the League One, you know, from there, it's decent rugby league. You know, just because there's no crowd from there, does that to say it's not should be allowed on television? Because it is. Well, it's at not, time, it's you get not... the top sides from there. I tell you what, the way Feversham are playing at this moment in time, they want to be the entertainers, and they signed two quality halfbacks in Midyard and Holmes for that division.
There were 2,000 there yesterday for a local derby.
But Mark, this is the point I'm saying is, so we're not interested in putting it on television because we're not getting the crowds, and that's why we're missing out on watching, I would say, decent rugby league, if I'm honest with you.
That's a lot of money to put a game on the telly.
Right. Yeah, I understand that.
I don't think it would stop a fervent fan of either team going. What it does allow you to do is appeal to fans who otherwise would not have tuned into that level of rugby and enjoy it for what it is.
Now, would you believe it? And this is amazing serendipity. What was the crowd at Workington yesterday again, sorry?
1,366.
Guess how many people were at Emerald Headingley Stadium. There you go, Leeds media team. Guess how many people were at Emerald Headingley? 1,366. To watch Yorkshire Carnegie play Jersey Reds, which was streamed live on Facebook by the Rugby Football Union. Now, some old people watched it. 2,890 views. But they sent out, and we were trying to count the camera angles, five or six cameras. It looks a very professional thing. They're putting that out. And they've got a deal, of course. The Championship is on Sky Sports. That's a sports governing body being proactive with their rights. And as I say, no one's watched it. Well, they've put it out there for people to watch.
Mm.
But would clubs allow that to happen? If the RFL turned up and said, well, we're going to show your game live on the internet.
What the one thing I don't like about this is the obsession with away fans.
Mm-hmm.
Away fans. So if Bradford had said, we're not travelling, we're not going, fans say, we're not going, it's too far, we're not going. What are Working to do then? It's all about getting your own fans in. You know, and that's why I raised the question last week. Everyone's saying about Cumbria this, Cumbria that, and I get the bigger picture. The problem is, I don't think those clubs in Cumbria could come to any kind of arrangement. I think it'd be civil war.
If we
went, right, there's going to be a Super League club and it's playing here. Well, I'm not going because it's there. And that's what happened.
They don't
even get fans to watch their own games as it is, so... I'm getting a bit impatient with all this Cumbrian, this Cumbrian, that. I admire Workington for their stance, and I think the Bulls, as Gary and Phil have said, the statement was awful. I'm sure with hindsight they will realise that. But there's a bigger question here. We're all talking about streaming. The NRL are doing it. I can buy an app on my phone now. I can watch all the NRL games if I want to do it. It's the way the world's going.
Yeah,
it's a welcome
absolutely.
To the real world. And what I will say for Bradford is fair play to them. We criticise the rugby league because they went, give us some money and we'll stream you the game. And everyone went, I'm not paying, don't know what it's going to look like. The Bulls and Proper Sport are building, the numbers are amazing. people watching. I found myself last week. I logged on, ended up watching the full game. I had no intention of watching the game. Bradford and Oldham in a mud bath at Oddsall. I didn't even want to watch it. I watched it all. And I'm thinking, what the hell am I doing? I don't want to. I'm watching it. That's what happened. People start watching it. Mm. And the numbers are saying at some point, Bradford's plan might be to say, right, everyone, it's 20 quid a seat. Whatever. I don't know what that plan is.
But the numbers might also say we can approach a sponsor because we can tell them 30,000 people are watching this broadcast and then we don't have to charge because it's subsidised. And it is the way, but what is the policy? Where was the meeting with all of the clubs to say this is what we're going to do at the start of the season?
Fair point.
Whether it's Bradford or the RFL or anybody, you know, it's a piecemeal approach to a media plan.
John asked a question. Why are Catalan allowed to film Toronto allowed to film the games? I've no problem with being on Premier Sport in Canada. Shouldn't be able to watch it here. That's my opinion. Unless there's monetary compensation for everyone else. It's the same thing. They're allowed to do it, but Bradford are.
I think, although I'm not certain, that Toronto are paying a lot for these games to be streamed because they want it to be shown on the game channel in Canada or whatever.
Right, no problem with that. You can have that.
So
why is it on here then?
I think they're paying for it to be on here. It's in their interest to do it. They're increasing their brand.
I think they'd be better off paying for it to be on a channel than that people don't have to pay to subscribe to watch.
I think that's an issue about rugby league and how many channels want to show rugby league.
Put it on Facebook. David's asked a question which is comparing apples and oranges. Because we're saying, should you be able to give away the game for free on the internet? And as Phil said, people who want to go, the people from Bradford who want to
go.
Did anyone on Saturday night going?
I'm
not going now.
Exactly.
If you're going to Workington, you're going. You're planning 2 weeks in, right, lads? I'll be around at 9.
Absolutely.
We're off.
David's asked the question: is it okay to scan and circulate rugby league papers, magazines, free of charge on the internet to my mates who I'm trying to educate? I'm sure if I scanned in 40/20 magazine, Phil would not be happy. But that is targeting people who are Phil. No one who doesn't watch rugby league. He's going to buy Phil's magazine.
I think you have to take a view on it and say sometimes you do stuff like that because you want people to be aware of your product and you're prepared to use some material to get people invested in what you do so that they will then take out a subscription for it. But you can't expect necessarily somebody to know what your magazine is if you don't put it in front of them.
Exactly. Go on, then.
I don't know what
people
the answer
are getting involved
is.
With
I don't know what the answer is. Tim says he'll probably never go to Workington, but he'll probably never go to Oddsall either. But I would have watched 10 minutes of their game. As it is, whatever happened in Workington on the Sunday afternoon will be a mystery forevermore. John says, clubs have their own TV channels now and the supporters we pay for it. If the game streamed live, clubs would lose that money as there would be no point in subscribing. Well, teams in the Championship and the Super League can't live stream their games, can they?
They have a TV agreement.
If there was a deal for League One, then they also wouldn't be able to do it. The Women's Super League starts this weekend. Mm. We will bring you on this channel live at 2 o'clock on Sunday, Bradford Bulls versus Coventry Bears in the Betfred League One. I don't think we can bring you afterwards, Bradford Bulls versus Leeds Rhinos in the Women's Super League, because we don't have the rights. We might be able to, because it's the Bradford club. I don't know. I don't want to get into that whole mess. Shouldn't that be out there for free?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
What's the best way to promote the game?
Absolutely 100%.
Yeah. What's the perception of the women's game? Probably a lot of people are not quite sure what it looks like. Scully and I watched the game last year. I thought, geez, it's just like watching, you know, League One. They get ripped in, they crack each other, they can play. You know, my perception, having seen a game, is actually that's pretty good.
I think Wakefield should have, if they could have done, streamed the physical disability game yesterday. I think loads of people would have tuned in to watch that out of curiosity and got absolutely captivated by it and said, right, when the next one's on, I want to be there.
Yeah.
And that's what you've got to do. And as it happened, Wakefield didn't have a ground announcer who read out the teams or the scorers. So I think you need to treat these new properties with the same respect that you would any other.
Yeah. No,
because there's actually more growth in that than possibly there is in your Super League or your Championship games.
Yeah. The respect on show for those, I don't know how many people were involved. The squad looked quite big to me, but
each
however
team,
many people played, the respect there,
absolutely.
Everyone's got respect.
Mm. Absolutely. And I don't think anybody who stayed and watched, there were a good, I don't know, maybe 200 or 300 people that did, which is not a bad first effort when most of those will have watched a game beforehand as well. I think when the next fixture is announced, they will want to go back and be part of it. It doesn't matter whether it's streamed or not, because they've seen it. So if that had been out there for more eyeballs to watch, then I think you would have found sponsors coming forward saying, we desperately want to be part of this, we can see the value in it. But also, crikey, what a great game, what great skills on show. That's as good as anything we've seen.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is, but Rob says various county cricket teams have started live streaming their games, all get really good figures, and that's something that's not on TV apart from a couple of games a season. Basketball is, you know, we've got all this stuff coming through via the BBC website, haven't we? They're going to show in 1,000 new hours of sport this year. So things like basketball and netball and ice hockey and this and that and the other. We don't want to be left behind. As we've just seen, the RFU are showing games live on YouTube from the Championship, and we're going to sit back and...
Yeah.
I didn't realise until seeing it last week, Rugby Union signed a deal with Channel 4 to show games live from the European Cup.
Yeah, six games.
So,
yeah.
What are we doing?
How much are you paying for them?
And we, still in the North, are the only people who can watch highlights of Rugby League. Because, you know, even last week, even on the Saturday after Good Friday, when Bargain Hunt was on across the nation, only in the North, even in the North East, where, you know, there's only Newcastle Thunder, all the people in Sunderland and whatever, they could watch the Super League show. They were probably gutted they couldn't watch Bargain Hunt. But all the people where London Scholars play and Coventry. And
you'll be on Bargain Hunt soon, you'll be watching one of them Vision and Awareness t-shirts. Look at this, this beauty. Yeah. As worn by Gary Schofield.
I'll tell you what, if I sign it, I'll get a few quid.
If you don't sign it, it'll get more.
Don't sign it.
There was the warning from Eddie Waring.
Got writer's cramp that you do that much signing of stuff.
In that article, Eddie Waring said, people say, why don't we get national recognition for the sport? And that was 1951, and nothing has changed.
No, it hasn't.
Nothing
has
changed.
And while, I have respect for working to their decision, this now needs to be resolved across the board. Mm. That's the drill.
But also as well, don't you think, as we've mentioned it many, many times over the last 4 years since we've been a team, and now we're looking at what Lenigan's, you know, looking to bring from there, isn't this because we're not all doing it for the good of the game itself, because it's all the self-interest, Mark?
It's all the self-interest,
rather than Rugby League. And the end of the day, for me, Rugby League has to be the winner instead of the self-interest.
Here's the point. How many fans are Workington going to bring to Oddsall? 50?
I just think
so the Bull say to Workington, tell you what, when we do the game, Get it on in your clubhouse. Yeah. Get everyone to come to your club and watch it. Make a couple of grand.
Put money over the bar
or whatever. Yeah, there are ways and means this can be done.
I would love a
Bradford fan to come to me and say, "What, I didn't go because thought we were going to be on the telly." 10. Be like Ralph Rimmer's mate who was going to Hulk. Oh, Bradford are back in the Championship. Mm. This guy's rubbish.
I just think York is the example that when you look at. Yeah. What they did in combination with Bradford.
And it's 40 minutes away, Phil.
Yeah. And it created an environment where people actually wanted to be there. But those who couldn't be there were part of the occasion. Mm. And York, on the back of that, have had a couple of really good attendances. So it wasn't about whether Bradford was streaming the game or not. It was about raising the awareness of York. And York, when the game isn't streamed and people want to go and be part of what they're building, have benefited from that and will benefit when they play Catalan in the Challenge Cup, because people will say, oh, remember that game when you played Bradford, it seemed like it was a great occasion. I remember even when I got home I watched it, or I didn't go and I watched it and wish I'd gone, so the next time a game came around I did want to go and I bought a ticket.
Yeah,
it has to be an accommodation between all the parties, and I think the part of the problem is that there hasn't been enough debate and discussion, but the issue of doing that in the public arena I think was wrong.
But
If it does anything other than crystallise the need to talk about what we need to do to best sell our game to more and more people, then we have to have that debate. And I don't get the argument about not allowing a delayed transmission either, because to me that is the best of both worlds. If for whatever reason you decide, and it's your decision the way things are structured at the moment, that you don't want live, I sort of get that.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
You might be stopping your own supporters going. But why you wouldn't want that transmitted at 6 o'clock?
That's what I'm saying. How good would that have been? Well, you've been in the game, or you've been whatever. It's
absolutely
on now. Get watched. You know. Never mind.
And Richard. And as John's asked about the RFL making Sky show Championship games, they can't make them, can they? They've signed that deal. They've signed the rights over to them. What Sky choose to do with it then is up to them. And again, as you say, it costs money to broadcast games, and can you get the audience to do that? I don't know. Martin says he got hooked into rugby league in Scunthorpe by watching the Challenge Cup on the BBC 30 years ago. Get it on every avenue you can and expose the game. Andy says the third Super League game, not chosen by Sky, should be given to the BBC or free to air every week. We were the most popular when on TV every week. And again, he's trying to find that broadcaster. Channel 4 obviously wanted to buy Inter Rugby brackets. Mm. And they've bought
it. Here's
your
old argument,
now,
Rich.
Rugby Union does have high value sponsors attached to it. Mm-hmm. And we don't help ourselves, as I've said before, because some of our media coverage actively promotes our sport as being played and followed by thick Northerners. So when we're sponsored by the companies we're sponsored by, and thank you very much to all those people for donating money to Rugby League, that's why.
Well, just a question, right, and it's not, I'm not in BBC bashing mode. We've had this conversation a million times. It's on the BBC, there is no advertising revenue to be had. That's the way the BBC works. How much do you think Ladbrokes would pay to sponsor the Challenge Cup if it was on ITV or Channel 4 when they can have 25 adverts a game on? It's just worth more money, and that's what we need to look at. I agree, maybe the league need to go to Sky and say, look, if you're going to do three games a week, we want the right to do the four. But the facts are, Sky have got a deal, it's watertight.
Yeah.
They can say, no, tough luck, you're not doing it.
And again, I think the issue with Sky is, what are we seriously doing with the Championship? That if you're allowed to sell the rights to all the games that don't matter, but you're not allowed to film the ones that do because they've bought them, then something is wrong in that contract.
Well, when the contract was made,
something is wrong with that contract.
Did anyone actually say, right, it's $500 million for Super League and it's $25 million for the Championship, yeah, and that money's ring fenced for the Championship? Or did they go, yeah, you can have Super League, we'll just chuck it in. You can do it, not a problem.
Or
not saying, well, you can do it, but you've got to do 20 games a season or 10 games a season, or we're going to go somewhere else with it.
Or when the Championship deal was negotiated that they could show games other than the middle eights, because they come under the preserve of Sky, they don't show all the middle eight games. So it should have been, you still have the right to show, you have the first choice, absolutely.
Yeah,
if it's Toronto and Widnes, you want to show it, no problem. But there are other games that you will not be showing from those qualifiers that should go to the broadcaster that every week has put on the other games.
Okay. Here's Gary. He says, can't tune into tonight's Rugby League Ramblings, but before Scully starts about where's the London fans, he's one. Difficult times at the Broncos after such a great start. A few chickens are coming home to roost. I'm afraid as a youthful endeavour will only get you so far. The reliance on the young fellas as a result of a thin squad is taking its toll. Yesterday's pack average age must have been 21 or 22 coming up against some old warriors. It was always going to be tough. This combined with an apparent lack of direction in the halves is frustrating to watch. For mine, we need to get in the market for a long-term loan or for an experienced front rower, a Darryl Griffin type. Is he busy these days, Darryl? He's got his stuff sorted.
I know where Griffin's going.
Anyway, Scully. Well,
Toronto, is he?
Are you allowed to tell us that?
Yeah, it's coming to us.
Who's us?
Yeah,
Cougars.
He's to play on the Parkside.
Cougars. Yeah. Cougars.
You did say that with enough passion. Come on, I want
yeah, it's coming to us.
Who? Yeah. Who?
Keith the Cougars.
Oh, yeah. Cougars. Come on, say it properly.
How can you say that? You're a Bradford fan.
Yeah, but I want some
Cougars. Come on, it's the Cougars.
That's better.
Anyway, slightly in a pantomime here.
Anyway, says Gary.
He's behind you.
Scully.
Oh, sorry,
that's just for
Scully,
not the
Oh, no, he isn't.
Villain.
See what you've started now.
Anyway, Scully, 10th place is still far-fetched, but top two a real challenge. Love listening to Monday's podcast and the four-hour drive-up yesterday. Shame you can't make it last a lot longer for up and down the M1.
I think you can play it on half speed, can't you? Then it lasts a bit longer.
I tell you what, though, that the London fan there, isn't he just making excuse?
No, inexperience, he's realistic.
You wasn't saying this when you were four, five on the bounce, don't worry. My boys, Barra, they're creeping up to you, don't worry.
You're 6 points behind.
Don't worry. All right, we've got Hammond at the weekend.
Fev at the weekend.
Yeah.
I tell you what, they're unbeaten.
I wish I could watch Barra and Fev. That'd be tasty, wouldn't it? So someone get a camera up there.
Who do we play week after Fev?
So Gary wants the show to be longer. Other rugby league podcasts are available. Some are good. Some you know, not as popular.
Look a bit higher up the charts.
Yeah. in terms of Wigan and Sam Tompkins, Terry says Tompkins to Catalan, then Wigan can keep John Bateman as a marquee player.
He's going to go to the NRL, isn't he, Scott?
Well, Gildart as well is talking about going to the NRL.
He's going.
And Ryan Sutton is in demand as well from various NRL clubs. So some interesting times for Wigan.
You remember when Gildart got injured and his dad put quite a... I thought it was a strange tweet for a dad to make.
Was that the neck one with Ferris?
Yeah, about... He made reference to the treatment and the way it had been handled and he wasn't happy. And I just wondered then if you think...
With the John Bateman with the NRL, because when you look at the NRL and you know you look at the size of John, and I've said it before, he's an absolute freak of rugby league player. The way that he gets ripped in defensively, the way that he takes the ball up, he just seems to hand everybody off with a signing. But I'm not so sure the NRL will be. I think they'll just eat him up, to be honest, if he plays in the pack, and he's not a centre, you know. But I just feel as though it won't last very long. They'll just eat him up.
You could say that. This is in Super League. He's small in Super League, isn't he? In stature, when you look at him.
Yeah, this
so
is...
But, look how he plays.
But if you look at the intensity and the quality in the NRL, Matt, week in and week out, and you look at some of the size of them
base... They could probably double his money, and
listen, Mark, I understand with the money point of view, but what I'm saying is, how long is he going to be in the NRL for? Like most of them nowadays? A year?
Well,
two, maybe
fair, when Elliot Whitehead went, did we all think, wow,
absolutely,
he's going to
rip it? No, I said Elliot Whitehead to make it out there because he's a wide running second rower. He's a different sort of player to Bateman. Totally different. He's used it Ricky Stewart, quality coach, by the way. Ricky, I love the way that he coached. You look at his enthusiasm as well on the sidelines. It's sensational. But he's a nice wide runner. He's been used right. He's Elliot Whitehead at Cameron, and he's been very well for the last 2 years. But I'll just worry for John. Hey, Wolfie, for sure, he's not lacking in quality. He won't lack for ticket because we all know that. But I just feel as though with his size and the size of them guys in the NRL, week in and week out, the intensity, it'll just get bashed.
As soon as he puts on his CV, international centre, they'll be snapping him up.
Hey, do you know what then? I wonder if Wayne Bennett chasing him at the Brisbane Broncos to play centre? Bennett chasing him at the Brisbane Broncos? It's like what I said to you last week, Phil Kaplan, against Hyington. Chris Hyington has never played for Wayne Bennett club level. Why is he going to play for England?
Because he's got two grand final rings to polish.
Oh, Phil.
He's a good player.
Phil, I played 46 times for Graham Bill. I didn't win a bloody thing. What does having two grand final rings mean?
Why did Newcastle...
He's more successful than you, so shut it.
Why did Newcastle want to buy him at the age of 36 if he didn't think he could do a job?
Squad player. Rubbish.
But plenty of people saying we should be on telly. I mean,
really?
As kind as that is.
What, to switch us off?
Go tweet Richard Branson or something. Might get
so they can switch us off.
Who wants TV channels these days? Darren is praising Fev. He says Rovers TV. He has a Rovers TV subscription. You can watch the full game from around 5:30 on a Sunday. Multiplayer camera angles with commentary. It's a superb service. Loads of fans have subscribed. Brilliant for watching away games, which are a distance away.
How can
like
Fev
London
do that,
and Barrow.
But what I will say about Fev is their social media presence, their video, etc., is absolutely brilliant. You've got a fair play to that. They've invested in it. They've got, you know, Ryan, who was at the Bulls. They've got some good people there. And
they can see the way it's going.
You get the right people in. It's funny, that, isn't it? You get the right people in and things happen.
But if you're at the start of a revolution, you benefit the most from it.
There you go. Captain, so, fair play. Fev maybe seen the future before it's come.
Captain Jimmy says clubs need to work together to market their games. There's still too much self-interest, even in championship clubs. Clubs are reticent to promote away games because the mentality is they don't earn ticket sales. They miss the opportunity to create hype. Matthew says rugby league needs to be restructured and streamlined in such a way where rules and structure of the game aren't changing year on year, so the clubs, players and fans know what's happening for the following season. The current culture is stagnating the professional game. And when you look in League One... yesterday, a couple of the results. Not a good weekend for Hemel and West Wales, and it probably won't be a good weekend next weekend for Hemel and West Wales as well. And League One, the red-headed stepchild of the Rugby League professional pyramid at the moment.
I think there's a few at the bottom that are struggling.
And part of the problem is that with the lack of Gloucestershire All Golds and Oxford... that heightens the clubs that are struggling, because they won't get a fixture in the next couple of weeks where they can play a team that is at their level. So the haves and the have-nots look greatly exaggerated. The issue has become with those clubs, why did we put them in there in the first place? What was the rationale? What were we trying to do as a sport? Because it's like we've dropped them into a division that we already knew was going to be difficult for them to compete in. And 5 years down the line, when some of them aren't competing anymore, the ones that are there that should we should be giving praise to, we should be trying to, you know, assist and help whatever Hemel and West Wales need, rather than hang them out to dry. We've created a division whereby we put in Toulouse, we then put in Toronto, we then put in Bradford, we then have a promotion relegation system that means that all they can do is try and survive, and that's not good enough. We haven't done enough to help them.
We will see. Don't forget, Proper Rugby League is brought to you by Pontefract Racecourse, who hosts their third annual Rugby League evening on Monday the 11th of June. Meet the players, coaches from Castleford Tigers, Wakefield Trinity, Huddersfield Giants and Featherstone Rovers will all be coming along. There's a great night of racing on offer with top quality racing, six races in total, including the Mr. Wolf Sprint, which commemorates one of the all-time Ponty greats. Bring your season ticket along and get grandstand and paddock entry to Pontefract's Rugby League evening for just a fiver, all with VIP tickets at £42 for adults, £10 for children. Perfect chance to get up close to your Rugby League favourites. We'll be there as well. For more details or to book, visit pontefract-races.com.
Hey, do you know what, fellas? While we're at Pontefract, can we have our own handicap proper sport sprint where I'll... A sprint race between four of us. I'll give you start over, what, let's just say 50 yards. So, Phil Kaplan, if you've got your knee bandage on, you might get 7 yards. Mark Wilson, yeah, you look a bit nimble, you might get 4 yards.
Nimble?
Richard Shaw, right?
With your cycling.
Sugar a little bit. I think I'll give Richie 12 yards over 50. I think that would be great, won't it?
Do we have to jump any fences?
You know, why don't we have the proper sport our own handicap sprint challenge at Ponty Races over 50 yards?
Is it one of those Sky inhalers?
You know, so Matt Wilson...
We had it delivered in
Matt Wilson gets 3 yards... Phil Kaplan gets 7 with his knee bandage on, and Shaw Wright gets 12.
Will
what do you
still
reckon?
Get 12 yards when the bus arrives and a mysterious package turns up on the bus?
Is it a 25-yard race?
50 yards, over 50.
50 yards?
Yeah, 50. Can you do 50?
They need the ambulance for the racing.
Yeah, so what do you reckon? I reckon they'll go down a treat, don't you?
Is it downhill or uphill?
Well, wherever we want to go, wherever we want to run, 50 yards, 3 yards, 7 and 12. Mm. Eh? I'm getting the spikes out.
Can we go back to eating fish and chips again?
Before we race.
And a gallon.
At the end.
Move on.
The Castleford Tigers, Aaron says, haven't even got into any sort of form on the field yet and are currently 6 points off the top with 2 games in hand. As we found out last year, it's about hitting form at the right time. Speaking of Cass, transfer rumour news, here's Niall. Castleford in a swap with Toronto, Westerman for Springer.
It's my understanding, this is not from anyone at Castleford, it's my understanding that Joe Westerman is looking for a move, shall we say.
Nearer to home, that being Manchester, obviously.
Well, to be honest with you,
I think Wakefield are interested in Mr. Westerman as well.
Springer's far more useful to Castle up to
not
Westerman.
He's playing, Oz, he's only played the last couple of years.
Well, the same, but still, you know, Springer's far more useful to Castle what Westerman is. We've had it now.
Springer will be very useful to Toronto.
Springer's very useful for Cass. I like Springer, me. I like him. Without a doubt.
Paul said we could do a boat race on Ponty Park Lake. Can't swim. So, not me.
We'll put your life jacket on. We'll fish you out. What, dragon boat racing? Can we get a cannon on ours?
Four canoes.
Canoe, yeah, do a canoe race.
We'll get a cannon.
Four
kayaks. We'll have a cannon.
Yeah, we'll
on
get the
side.
Yeah, well, we'll get the race on. The legend will give you a start.
I tell you what, that wouldn't half add great excitement to the boat race if you could sell half Charlie's and stand on one of the bridges and lob them at the boat.
That fella got thrown in prison for invading the boat race. That tells you everything about this country you need to know.
Invading the boat race.
Having been inspired by the Commonwealth Games, could play bowls. And then there's the off chance we could also turn up at the Commonwealth Games next time.
Yeah.
But it is in Birmingham, which is not quite exactly the goal.
Not Birmingham, Alabama.
No. Birmingham, unfortunately, the one.
Oh, you see, Peter's come in there. Yeah. Said Scoria would be top weight. Yeah. You see, he's seen you in that T-shirt. Yeah.
What do you mean? What do you mean I'd be top weight?
The body of a Greek god. Stavros Flatley.
All right, Rich, I'll do the funny, son. I'll do the funny.
Because William...
Go on, Rich!
William sent
just because Wakefield are five on the bounce, lost. Don't be taking it out on me.
We're all at Leeds.
Hey, you can Eddie Earn promote it, the race, the handicap race at Pontefract Races, between the proper sport lads.
William's concerned at Widnes, and he sent this in a few times. He wants a complete clear out from top to bottom, including the coach. Speaking of Widnes... John says the injury list is horrendous.
It says 30
Fears
players they've used.
Hull on Thursday. Did have another one saying they should rip up the artificial turf and put in grass. That might help them in terms of injuries. But
well,
they picked
I mean,
four on the got, grass, didn't they? I was there on Saturday night,
and the poor young lad who made his debut.
How did that happen, Mark? Would it just
in a tackle?
What, he got tackled.
Yeah, he was near the line, and Cookie said straight away he's broke his leg. And to be fair to the kid, he got up to try and play the ball and he fell over.
Right.
And it was awful to watch. You know, 6 minutes in, I think, to his... Mm. I think it was his Super League game.
It was.
Well, it happened to Anouk Yapa, didn't it? A week before as well, wasn't it? After about seven minutes, wasn't it? He did his broke his leg and ankle as well, yeah.
Yeah, it was awful. What I would say about Widnes... is that... it was Keenan Brand, by the way, on debut that got injured... they lost Danny Craven, he got a head knock, he couldn't come back on. Wellington Albert got injured, first tackle for him, he did try and play on but he got injured, you could tell he wasn't right. And then the big fella,
Gil Dudson,
went off and they had no subs for half an hour and it lost them the game. What I would say about Widnes, right, is they're clearly the effort and commitment from that side up until the final, they made a break Rovers and they got back and stopped it. I don't know how they did it. So, the team spirit is there. I don't know what you can do about injury. They're just getting absolutely gubbed on the injury front. And Chris Houston was unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable on Saturday night. And I just think, if you've got players like that, if you get your players fit, I think it's not as bad as it looks.
The worry would be that it's seeming to happen every season for Widnes. So is there something underlying... And could it be the pitch, I don't know, that means that they seem to have an inordinate amount of injuries?
Well, I tell you what, you know, you talk about that, Philip. Can you remember when I was at Leeds, can you remember when Edgar Curtis came in?
Yeah, from American football.
Yeah, and tried to Curtis, but as soon as he came over, our gym at Leeds was absolutely spot on. I think they spent about 30, 40 grand in them days. It was all machines and what have you. He came in and said, what's all this rubbish? You don't work on machines. It's all freeway. So he went to Sweden, bought another 30 grand's worth of thing. Well, honestly, ripped it all out and bought in all this.
How did he leave
for, and we were just on his way going busted, to be honest with you. But then four of us, with different training techniques, with heavy weights, tore us pectoral muscles. Myself, Kevin Iroh, Tony Kemp, and I forgot I don't know if it was Gary Mercer, but four of us ripped his pectoral muscles, and we put that down to the new training regimes by not being used to it. Mm. So there could be a point there, Phil, to be honest with you. Mm. Yeah. So, it is. But also as well from the Widnes fans, and I know some of them may be complaining because of the position what they're in, but as you just said there, Matt, from a supporter's point of view, if they've seen the lads, you know, giving the commitment and the effort and the desire, well, that's what you want to see, isn't it?
Can I make some generalisations that we know Easter is a really tough period, and it does sort the strength of squad and quality of junior from those that are thin, and that the teams that have really struggled injury-wise and getting the players on the pitch in the condition that they need to be are Huddersfield, Salford, Hull KR and Widnes, and we identified those four teams before the start of the season that if they had injuries, it was going to bite them more than any other team.
Well, I said about Widnes, and I think it was the start of the season, I actually said, what are they bringing? I know they've got a great youth policy. Mm-hmm. We can have the best youth policy in the world. They don't buy any, I would say, very good senior players. They sold Kevin Brown, they didn't replace him. You know, and it's almost, as a fan of that club, look, as a different looking at it, and I can see the frustration, is where is that club going? Mm. It's all right having the good kids. They have good kids at Wigan, but they put them into a very good team, so those good kids in a good team look even better.
Yeah.
You put them into a struggling team, and some of them will drown, and that's unfair. Yeah. But, you know, bad luck, breaking a leg, bad luck, getting a head knock could happen every week in Super League, pulling a muscle could happen whenever. But I would question, you've hit it on the head there for me. What is Warrington, Widnes's remit? What are they trying to do? And I made a point a couple of weeks ago, there's too many teams in Super League who are happy to be in Super League with no intention of winning the competition. And I think those clubs are the clubs that are dragging the competition down. And maybe, if we're going to be harsh, witness one of them.
Well, to be honest with you, Mark, cause I think I said that a couple of weeks ago, because they know they're going to get free bites of the cherry, don't they?
Yeah.
If they finish bottom, then they've got the bottom eight out of our eight games. And then if they finish in the £1 million game, they get another chance. So they're getting three opportunities to avoid that relegation. So it's the system one he's looking at.
But they get three opportunities if they can get their best players out there. The trouble is, if they're given three opportunities because they're playing too many youngsters who aren't ready, or the senior players are playing with needles, then it isn't a true test. And we were talking about that, I think, at Wakefield with Craig yesterday, that the thing with promotion relegation in rugby league is that it always produces yo-yo teams. This isn't something new. It always has. Traditionally, if you look back at the teams that got promoted and the teams that got relegated, there was always a bounce between them. And what tends to happen is, at the end of the season, the players that have got relegated get sold to the team that have got promoted, so nothing ever changes.
Yeah.
And all that's happened under the eight system at the moment is a team that got promoted got relegated, and a team that got relegated got promoted.
Is that not the way the finances work?
Yes, and we need to look at that.
Yeah, that's the problem. The problem is that it's never the team that finishes bottom that gets relegated.
No, that is one of the other issues. Yeah.
You know, if you just made it one and you're the bottom team.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that might mean teams like Widnes go, right, we don't want to be bottom, we're going to go out and we're going to spend this money and we're going to get better players.
But then also as well, when we look at it last year, Catalans were in that £1 million game, and look where Catalans are now. But you look at that team on paper, Mark, compared to the Widnes side on paper, Catalan should be bottom, they should be where Widnes is. So again,
you say that, Gary, yeah. Had they have held on to a 21-0 lead, which they would have been, alright, their points difference is naff, they'd have only gone up a point. They'd have been 1 point off being in the top eight.
Yeah, but
so as bad as they are, they're still in the mix.
But still, yeah, they are in the mix, but they're still bottom, aren't they? But when you look at the teams on paper, the Catalans are getting injuries. It's just unfortunately.
They are. They've barely had a set of halfbacks out this year. Because they've got the big issue over Luke Walsh.
Well, they should never re-sign Luke Walsh anyway, should they?
I don't know. If they had held on to that result against Wigan, and it was solely as much as Wigan were brilliant with Sean O'Loughlin pulling the string,
how he
did that, I have no idea.
How good was
the indiscipline that Catalan showed on virtually every set of six as the game started to slip away from them, that was partly their undoing.
Yeah.
And Steve McNamara can blame the ref as much as he wants, but there's something in their desire to want to wrestle in every single tackle that they've got to cut out, because they'll just give away penalties. But if they'd won that game, they'd be sitting on 6 points.
Yeah.
And the team that is in eighth has 6 points.
Yeah. That's it. So they're not far away, are they?
No.
And it's easy to go, oh, they're going down. I'm not.
Yeah, but Mark, we've sure here now. I said it before we came on air to the boys, is that what you're seeing now, the top seven are finishing the top seven, whichever order from there, but then the bottom five, they are the bottom five.
With the exception, Gary, of Catalans, if I'd have said to you, write me down your list at the start, you'd have pretty much had that.
Of course it is. As Phil has mentioned here about the yo-yo situation, still there even now throughout the league positions. We're not getting no change, are we?
No.
We're not getting no change. So where is the quality coming from? We ain't getting it, are we?
The three teams that you said are the only ones that can win the grand final.
To get to Manchester. Yeah.
Are three of the four teams that have won the grand final in the history of Super League.
Well, it is. But also, we look at another side. I know Caroline will come on, but when you look at the black and whites, you know, what did I say? And, you know, Sid Tellens, you know, for 20 minutes, they should have been 24-0 up and they should have been there. But Mark was mentioning in commentary that it may be a bit of a worry for Sid Tellens by not putting the games to bed from there. But Hull got themselves back into the game in the second half as well. And I spoke to my great mate Crooks the day after about it. And, you know, the effort and the commitment and the desire, yeah, it'll only get you so far. But the quality of Hull's attack, certainly they get into a good field position at 25-30 out, is absolutely clueless. Albert Kelly at times goes missing. Mark Steen has got nothing with the ball in hand. He's only got his asset is his kicking game, as we all well know. But again, St. Tellens, it was absolutely rubbish again. But what Hull need to do is be more of a threatening attack, is get the ball early to Tumavavi, Griffin and Jake Connor. Well, for mine, and I said it in my column today, what I would do with Jake Connor, because he does get under people's skin, and as everybody says in the game, he's got that grubbiness about him. But he's got the ball skills as well, so he could take the pressure off a little bit of an Albert Kelly if he wants to go missing. Mark Steed hasn't got that from there. So what they need more involved is from a creativity point of view, and he can bring that with the organisation. Desire, effort, commitment will get you so far, but if you haven't got the quality to put points on the board and score more points for the opposition, that's where Hull are going to fall down.
I think there's one other ingredient that every team needs that you can't coach, and that is genuine pace. You have to have somebody that has got the speed. I mean, even yesterday, Tom Johnson was the best outlet Wakefield had, because you knew that if you could get the ball to him and give him a bit of space, nobody was going to catch him. The, you know, the Martin of Fire principle, that if all things else fails, just give the ball to Martin, because his speed will get you out of trouble. And I'm not sure Hull have got enough speed at the moment. You look at that back division, you think Jake Connor is a... Yeah, he's. I think you're right. Needs to be more involved. But his asset isn't outstanding pace. You know, Josh Griffin is not a quick centre. He's a very clever centre. He's a very powerful centre, but he hasn't got blinding pace. And Jamie Shorlow has got the pace. Just looks a bit tired and under the weather at the moment. He's not making the same impact that he normally does.
But I'm not saying from Jake Connor's point of view, though. I'm not all about his pace. I'm all about his creativity. Yeah, it's where he can bring a different variation to the black and white.
But he needs to then bring somebody onto the ball who's got pace.
How many times, though, did we see it? They got to the edge and they had the numbers and they won't pass it.
They won't pass it. Yeah. So no, they won't.
But is that because the guys on the outside? I mean, Jack Logan's only coming back after almost 2 years of being injured. He has got pace if he can get that back. But I was watching that game on Friday night and just thinking what lets Hull down is the fact they haven't got a fast outlet.
I think Leeds, Radders has identified that as well. The creativity is becoming a problem. Mm. It is.
As we've ended up on this game, Stephen asked us at the start of the programme, and of course we'd love to defend referees on this programme because they all make mistakes. However, sometimes you can't defend the indefensible. And even the greatest criminal barristers and lawyers...
There is no mitigation for this.
Horace Rumpole himself could not defend... The forward pass, Kevin Sinfield-esque forward pass, that led to Hull's try from Albert Kelly.
I'll tell you what, Stephen Drake, who sent that in, needs to get his eyes checked. Five yards forward? Come on. Do me a favour. First down it was. Change on the sideline.
Well, do you know what? Because we were there, and it made you laugh, because Robert Hicks, well, wow, you never saw it, I don't know, but he kept going, he kept looking at the touch, he kept going, and thought, well, I've got to give a try here. And then the touch judge stood there saying, can we look back to see if there was a knock-on on the halfway line from the pass? And we're thinking, mate, you've just made a big, massive foul, because you knew you can't go for a forward pass and you've missed it by what? It's got to be 7-8 yards, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was absolutely ridiculous.
I thought they were very clever on the initial replay the try. They didn't show it, and then they showed it after the try.
They were very clever. That forward pass was as bad. Remember, Phil, in 85, we played New Zealand at Headingley, and Ellery made that break down the left-hand side, great break, and then he threw a long one there, and Joe Lydon went, well, I better start running 10 yards forward, because that's how far the pass has gone, and he missed it. Barry Gummelson with a referee, the grasshopper from Queensland, and missed it. It was absolute shocking, and how it was given, we just don't know,
I think that is an issue with the video ref, though, that, when something is as blatant as that...
Oh.
You as a game look foolish because you're looking at stuff that is tenuous and should you be stopping the game, and there's something there that's
but
obvious.
Phil, officials should not be missing things.
No, they shouldn't
like that,
be missing that. I thought great credit to Justin Holbrook as well, who didn't make it a big issue.
No. Oh, you're not going to do it if you win. By the way, he had a word with you, legend, didn't he, on Friday?
Yeah, so,
is your little bromance over now?
No, I'll tell you what, the...
Is March your card?
The respect is fully still intact, because, yeah, after...
From your side, mate.
Tell everyone what happened.
Yeah, I will do, yeah. After Justin did his presser and he went outside, he was just doing an interview with Ray French, so I went up to Justin and congratulated him on another very good win. And literally, as I just got 2 yards away from him, he went, hey, Scoey, you tip Wigan to beat us, and within 2 seconds, I went quickly again with that vision and awareness, just said, yeah, Justin, I'm just keeping you on your toes, and he burst out laughing, so, yeah, the respect is still there. But I tell you what, though, even coaches now are listening to the legend. Even coaches are looking at predictions from the legend. So, no.
We told him your predictions
were
rubbish.
Good bit of banter, good bit of respect, and as I say, just keeping him on his toes.
He burst out laughing and said, you're banned.
Yeah. keeping them on his toes, keeping Saints on the toes.
Eh? Everywhere.
But for Hull, Mark, you'll say you were there yourself again. It's that creativity point of view, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. They get themselves a good field position.
Call them Dull FC, and I'm sorry to say, I'm inclined to think the same thing.
They get themselves a good field position, but they just can't create anything.
No.
They can't.
Shame for Brad Fash. Waits until, was it his 33rd game to start? Every one of his others has been off the bench and gets a broken jaw.
Yeah.
No, he's a broken jaw, is he? Alright, so.
Yeah, not good. I think they need to fix up defensively as well, Hull. Out of the top six, I know they've played a game more than some of the clubs, but they've got the worst defensive record. That will be an issue, I think.
Who have they got this week?
Hull.
Oh, Widnes. They're a Widnes out there.
Widnes,
so you think there's 2 points
beat them,
there.
Yeah. Then
there's only 2 points there, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Speaking of Saints, Kev says, great win for them, but once again the incessant stoppages made the game feel like as if I'd been at a 5-day test. The RFL and the refs need to clamp down more on players feigning injury. Plus, if a player has got an arm injury, why do we have to stop play? Can we have no... go on.
Yeah, no, we'll jump in there. I was at a game on Saturday, the Hull KR game, and I know the lad broke his leg and that was an unfortunate delay, but I thought, oh, it's not on the telly, it'll be quite a quick game. It took... Again, it's 2 hours again. It's taking too long. The game is taking too long.
But also as well, though, Matt, how long, you know when the score will, how long do the goal kickers take? You know, that how long do the goal kickers...
Well, they get a minute, don't they?
They take longer than a minute.
They take a minute off the clock, but then they get as long as they want.
Honestly, right. You know, how long do the goal kickers take?
So do we need to say you've got a minute to kick it, otherwise...
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous.
I think that there's another inconsistency, and that is players are going down injured. And because it's apparent that it's a head knock, the referee quite rightly has to stop the game and allow the staff on, because we have the HIA protocol. But there are guys who are going down with head knocks and then getting back into the defensive line and not going off for an HIA, so you can't have it both ways.
Yeah, well, I've got a question. I mentioned this on Friday. The TV games, how many people stay down and think, oh, you ain't given a penalty there, I think I've got it on the head, I'm going to stay down, stays down for a minute and then gets a penalty. I'm not having that. It's going to happen more and more.
Agree,
it's going to happen more and more. If you stay down and make a big issue out of something, it's all... I'm not saying it's play acting, because clearly some players are injured, but I'm sure some are thinking, well, I might get a penalty if you stay down.
But it's the same with the TV game when a try is conceded and there's a possibility that there may have been some obstruction involved. We now have players and we're running to the referee insisting that they go to the screen to have a look for something that they haven't seen.
Yeah, exactly. That should be a penalty.
I agree. Is there anything being done about that crusher tackle from the Hull players? Anything?
The only disciplinary, I think, is Chris Clark.
Right, and what about Roby? Any news on his... Is it a cartilage? Rib cartilage is done?
It looked like it, yeah.
So I'll tell you what, they're painful. I've done one myself. Oh, shocking.
Well, I presume that means that Matty Smith won't be allowed out on loan. You wouldn't have thought if James Roby is going to miss.
As Rich was finishing off Kev's tweet.
Can we have no kowtowing to Matty Smith, please? He's done 6 on 10 in the 50-odd minutes he's played this season. I also think Regan Grace needs a spell out on loan when Swift is fit again. Jonathan, though, says, what's your thoughts on Matty Smith not being able to get in the team at Saints? Do you think he'll be shipped out to another club?
I think he would have been, but for the potential injury to James Roby. I think Matty Smith, being the professional that he is, has said that he now wants game time, that the Easter period is over. If he's not going to be considered on a regular basis, then there are three teams, we believe, that have come in and said that they want him.
Have they got a backup hooker, Saints? Who've they got? Can't think of him, can you? Saints fans,
I can't find any news on Roby.
But I say, have they got a backup hooker? He might have to stay just to fill that role.
I think he will have to stay.
Be going out now. If Roby has done his rib cartilage, because I can tell
you, 4 or 5 weeks,
6 weeks. It will be 6 weeks. They are very.
You can't breathe.
Can't do nothing.
And there's no treatment.
Treatment for it. It's just time. That's what it is. Yeah, it 6 weeks.
Sadly, ended my career as well.
Six,
that injury.
What a rib cartilage?
Yeah. The career that never started.
Yeah, a rib cartilage.
Playing for Nen Valley against Cambridge Eagles.
Come on, talk us through it then.
It's not.
What happened?
You pop a rib cartilage.
Did someone crack it? What happened?
I was probably running away from a tackle.
Well, that's generally what you do for
either making or being tackle. Mm. But yeah, it's just painful because you can't have any treatment for it.
Oh no, they're awful. I demanded third test against New Zealand. Just got tackled.
Hold on, that's irrelevant.
No, yeah, it wasn't Cambridge Eagles, was it?
Yeah, I just got twisted, and as I went down, I just got twisted. I went, oh, what's that? And then I tried to get it up, and literally just cringing, and what's wrong with him? No, there's not happening that tackle. Just a twist, and it just popped. Oh, honestly, awful, absolute awful injury.
Apparently we should keep an eye out for Harry Newman, an 18-year-old who's currently on Joe Reg at Fev. Classy centre and a future international, says Terry and Denise, in the mould of Paul Newlove.
Alan, big shout out, is that, because Newman's is one of the best centres we've ever produced, I can reassure you.
Tom Briscoe's beaten his record, though, for consecutive...
Luke Briscoe.
Yeah, we got that in
the end. In the end,
three goals for a quid, come on.
was it 12 games running? He scored a try. It's sensational.
I tell you what, they're playing some great football, if I've ever seen. I say, because the intention war, bring two quality halfbacks with creativity. And again, it's out on Twitter in the green T-shirt with that vision and awareness. That's exactly what Featherstone do. More of the teams do it, please. More teams do it.
Fortunately, Featherstone are doing it without wearing the T-shirt.
It's a bit harsh.
Otherwise, it would pop their rib cartilage.
I'll tell you what, do you know Ridyard? He would have been a great signing for Hull. He'd have brought that creativity. But anyway, he's at Featherstone.
Yeah.
I mean, we are getting to that exciting part of the year where everyone releases their Magic Weekend summer bash kits. So,
Are we getting Marvel shirts again?
I don't know.
I think we are.
They didn't have a great record last year, did they, in those kits? Leeds lost one.
I think they should go retro. Have an old retro.
Heritage
one.
Round.
Yeah.
Yeah, an old fashioned one.
Get my British Cole shirt out again.
Bring back the collared shirts. Great collared shirts. Bring back them. Yeah. Bring them back.
Yeah, it'd be great when you're running. It's down the wing. Someone grabs your collar and.
Well, they can't grab your collar if you run quicker. I'll be grabbing your collar at Ponty Races. As soon as that whistle goes, I'm after you, Wilson. I'll be
when
taking over you. I'm after
just
you, Kaplan.
You set off,
and then 10 yards to go, but you're sure
we're
right.
Put a winch in the back of your shorts.
if you want to share,
I'm with the running speedos. I'm running in speedos that night. I'm running in pink speedos.
Well, you see that the problem there, right, is, and this is where you're going to do yourself in.
No, I'm not.
Because if you're in pink speedos, you think us three numbnuts are going to want to be looking at you running away from us. We're going to be running as fast as we can to get away from you.
Well, do you know,
that's all the inspiration we need.
Listen,
that's an incentive for you guys, for me not to let you pass into looking at the old, looking at the old cheeks.
I've seen you in a tight t-shirt and I don't like it.
I tell you what, what do you think I want to see in some tight underpants? Hey, do you know what? Ponty Races, get them out to Ponty Races. I tell you what, they'll be flocking to come and see the legend. They'll be flocking. Green t-shirt, pink speedos. Boy, oh boy, what an entertainment value. Chasing you free.
Boat race tweet.
Chasing you free.
We'll be selling half Charlie's on the other side of the truck.
Looking forward to it.
And me and Rich are having 100 quid.
Of course, it's a bit arse, lads. Hey, why don't we stream it?
No, Phil won't have proof. He might lose out on some money.
Why don't we stream it, eh?
Looking forward to the heritage round.
Hey, I'll tell you what, it'd be brilliant. It'd be a great fun laugh, won't it? Eh?
Huddersfield can come dressed as the Sheffield Eagles and Hull as Gateshead.
There's an out, Charlie.
He's getting ripped in tonight, isn't he, sure? He's getting ripped in, the boy.
I don't have much sleep, so I'm
he's getting ripped in.
We've been asked about Will Dagger. Michael's asked him, and Sam asked as well. You obviously saw him on Saturday, coming from Warrington to Hull Kingston Rovers. Highly thought of at Warrington as well, wasn't he, coming through the...
Yeah,
the
played well. Stand. Played well, looked nice and safe under the high ball. I thought he did well. Yeah,
Cass lad as well, isn't he?
I don't know. But he didn't do anything wrong. No.
Greg threw the real grenade in because he asked, "Do you think if all the clubs merged like they were on about, do you think there would be a smaller difference between the NRL and Super League?"
Don't know. You can't, can we? How can you prove it? You can't do anything, can you?
I think that less is more, and that you get greater quality by concentrating the number of teams. Whether that's the idea of mergers, I think that boat sailed. The issue, I think, at the time was that we were trying to get too much change through and that nobody stepped back and said, look, first of all, let's have a Super League, let's move to summer. There's some plans on the table whereby some chairmen themselves are prepared to at least... I mean, Workington and Whitehaven, I remember, actually accepted the £1 million each to merge. Yeah. And when they went back to their boards and their supporters, then said, no, there's no way we can do this. So I think what there wasn't a one-size-that-fit-all even at the time, but it needed people to have the option to sit down and at least discuss... what they thought the future of the game might look like, and we missed that opportunity. We took the £87 million quid, but the game now, 23 years later, doesn't look a lot different to what it did then. No, so have we wasted that money?
It's not any different, is it?
No.
How has it moved forward? No. Has it moved forward one little bit?
I'm not sure what a Salford and Oldham combined club would have necessarily brought in 1995, but...
Well, Oldham were a Super League team.
Sheffield the and Bears. Doncaster, Warrington and Widnes. The other one.
What merging?
Hull KR.
What merging? No, you know, it's not even worth talking about because it's never going to happen, is it?
Well, I was talking about what would have happened.
I think the issue perhaps should have been maybe looking at the Super League that they wanted at that time, but retaining all of those clubs in a structure beneath it so that they had their identity, they acted as talent pools and reservoirs of talent.
Well, working to another season in Super League, the first Super League
and
season.
They never recovered from it. So Oldham got relegated in the second season, never recovered from it.
We played up there the first game of the season, and the Workington fans remind me, they tell me it was a forward pass to Kevin Ayrault for the winning try, and they were beating us until the last couple of minutes.
And it was.
And I get reminded it was a forward.
Leeds win with forward.
I think that's when the momentum...
See,
that's
nothing's when the ever changed, has it? Leeds were cheating then, and they're cheating
That's
now.
When the momentum rule came in. I passed it around 12 yards forward and Kevin Ayrault caught it.
But was that actually ever a rule? Or was that just Steve Hunt made it up and everyone believed
it? I don't wish to have a go at Mr. Cummings, because I try not to listen to as many commentaries as I can. I prefer the radio versions, even if the game's not the same. But is he making up rules occasionally?
Did he say that? He didn't say he wanted a forward pass to it.
He said something about it's all right if the hips don't go above the shoulder.
For a pass?
I don't want to talk about it.
When did that come in?
I don't want to talk about it.
Just asking.
Else, well, Pip says we can't see your face because of the numbers on the screen. I don't know why you're complaining, Pip.
See whose face?
Yours.
I got told I had to move the thing, but apparently we had 3,000 complaints, so I put it back again.
Is that all?
Well, I stopped looking after 3,000.
I tell you what, Shaw Wright's ripping into Scully tonight, isn't he?
Well, I told you if there's a competition, come on, Rich,
just because Leeds beat at the weekend, Rich. Hey?
Oh. Well, I'm over that, it's alright. We need to ask Kev then, who would you play a hooker for St Helens? Because you know.
Statue
of Kieran off the roof.
Yeah, because I can't think of a backup hooker for St Helens, because Robbie plays 80 minutes every week, doesn't he?
Mm. I'm sure they let a player either go out on loan or sold.
Actually, Kieran's son's at Leeds, they bring him back. He's a backup, isn't he? Kieran's son.
Peter says, Salford relying on Louis too much, lad will be burnt out. Toronto and Toulouse will strengthen like crazy in the middle eight. Likes of Skint, Salford will be in trouble.
I think this is the year we get more than one change in Super League. I genuinely do. I look at that, you know, Toronto, Toulouse, Featherstone, London, Lee or Halifax. I think all six of those, and that is a top six at the minute, I think all six of those would have a chance.
Well, I'll tell you what, Max, when they look at the bottom five sides in Super League, and you've mentioned them sides there, they fancy them.
Yeah.
They fancy them, they're like that. Bring them on, they fancy them.
I'll tell you
they
what, if the bottom four now played the top four this next week, just in a straight off game.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, you'd be saying more than one of the championship sides would win. That'd
you know,
be my opinion.
And do you know what? We won't be saying as well. I'll tell you what, that one upset, wasn't it? Because it wasn't, because you'd expect it. No, isn't it? Eh?
But don't we need to know what the structure's going to be after the end of this year?
It's true,
because Gary Heddington said we were all just making it.
When Rob Elskin arrives, maybe it won't be.
Tom says, what are your thoughts on Warrington's win on Saturday, Scoey? For me, they're flying high at the moment. Even though all eyes are on Wigan and St Helens, rightly so. But Warrington have been fantastic since I saw them in person at Hull when we beat them. Ratchford, Clark and Charlie have been sensational so far.
Well, Clark has been... Clark is getting back to his England best. Charlie, well, what's he got? Three tries in four games?
Charlie's been a great signing for
him. Yeah, he's been excellent. Ratchford in and out for me again still. But, Warrington are doing OK. But I thought the game on Saturday was dire. I just didn't feel as though it had any purpose, any really commitment or enthusiasm. Warrington, for mine, turned the tap on, turned it off while they wanted. Salford weren't very good. And by the way, with Salford, they played Dr. Louis at the fullback. He's not a fullback. You know, like I mentioned, that the try and experiment with somebody who's not a fullback. He wasn't in comfortable there. It took away all their organisation, took away the creativity from Salford's point of view. So I like Watson as a coach. He's doing a great job, but that was a big howler for mine, for Salford to get the victory over Warrington. But Warrington going along nicely, you know. But the game itself, I got invited to go watch Sunset Parkside and Kells on Saturday. Yeah, they were down there playing at Parkside, but I couldn't make it because I had to watch that game on telly. Well, to be honest with you, what I've heard, the Parkside and Kells game was a decent game. I wish they'd gone to watch that, because that Salford Warrington game, lacking purpose, lacking commitment, desire from there. Warrington, as I've just said, turn the tap on, turn it off when they want. Decent performance, I guess, but overall the game wasn't much quality.
I think the thing for Warrington is that Tyrone Roberts is, you can see week on week, he's getting fitter and he's having more of an influence on games, and as that continues to happen, he will, I think he'll be one of the creative dynamos of Super League. He can play, and he hasn't been fit, and he hasn't had a full pre-season, and he didn't know the players in the team. And the more of the that he gets that kind of relationship with them, I think the more dangerous Warrington will be.
But they're not going to get anywhere near Old Trafford for Lather. They're not.
You wouldn't say they've got enough in their armoury at the moment to do that, no. And all they can do is win every week, and there'll come a point where having points on the board and having played your games.
Got this week? Oh, the goalkeepers are over, so that's another 20-point victory for them, isn't it?
But the longer you stay in the top three, even though you've played more games than everybody else, the more you sit back and go, OK, well, catch us.
I'll tell you what, we talk about fixtures. Have a look at Hull KR's next six fixtures. There is a brutal run of games for them. Starting off at Warrington this week, they've got some really tough games coming up. And it's now time where you start looking at the table and going, when are they going to win again? How are they going to get a win? I know we mentioned Wakefield at start, they've had a tough run of fixtures. It can happen, can't it? I mean, give us them, Rich. You've got them up there.
Where are we? So, Warrington this week, Leeds the week after at home, Wakefield away, Hull at the Magic Weekend, and then Wigan at home.
And then
again.
St Helens.
Well, there's no
Castleford.
So that's six games, is it?
Yeah, six or seven, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's six on the bounce, and they're not going to win. Because, and I say Tim Sheen said at the start of the season, and we all agreed, he's got experience there, but unfortunately, he's not got quality.
Which
simple
means
as that.
They'll have played 17 rounds and may still only have 6 points. Mm.
Greg says you must be going in the right direction because you've just reeled off six teams that could make it to Super League, whereas last year you could have just said two in Lee and London. We've got to scrap the eights, though.
I do think the experience of being in the eights as a championship team, they invariably improve the year after because they know what it's about.
But I think there is a bigger picture about what it takes to be a Super League team, and I think we've just exposed that with Hull KR. They've just come up, they didn't have the ability to sign the players that they wanted to because they'd already been taken, and some of the guys that played in the Championship or the kids coming through are not ready yet to play every week at that level. So of those six teams, are Halifax capable of making a sustained stay in Super League? At the moment, probably not. They're a part-time team. Lee, yes, they would, because I think suddenly Derek Beaumont would say, I am prepared to invest at the 23-round point if there's a chance of us going back up. London, I'm not sure they do. I think if you talk to people like Danny Ward, that they are building. But if you were to put what they've got at the moment at the ground that they play at, with the structures that they've got down there, albeit that there are some great young kids coming through, they're not ready to be back in Super League. Featherstone, it's not about getting the right number of players. They could, because they'll get £2 million from Sky, but they need to build the club. Who is going to pay the £500,000 that they might need to put in all of the backroom staff when you go from part-time to full-time? If somebody's prepared to do that, that's fine, but it is an investment outside of the money you get from Sky. Toulouse ground isn't going to be ready till 2019, and talking to someone who is an expert in French rugby league yesterday, they're saying that Sylvain Houle wants to bring through some more French players to supplement who they would be able to go out and buy. And Toronto, we know, want to be in Super League. So I don't buy this that it's because of the eights or promotion relegation. It's about the access to finance that you've got.
Do you know what now, then? If we was going to say we're also saying the bottom four, look at something like may put Widnes in there instead of, let's just say, maybe Salford. And then you look at the top four, put Lee in maybe instead. Well, it'd be interesting, wouldn't it, to have with London. But let's just say that top four of the Championship and that bottom four in Super League, who do you think the £1 million game would be? When we're thinking of it now, could it be, just say we swap Salford for Widnes, could it be Widnes and Hull KR Rovers in the £1 million game?
I think Hull KR and Toronto is a likely £1 million.
Is that what you reckon that game?
Toronto.
Do you think Toronto will already be promoted?
I think they'll do what
Lee and Hull KR didn't get promoted without going into the £1 million game.
I think so.
Because I tell you what, Feversham over the last 2 years, I know they've not done themselves an injustice in the last eight years.
Yeah,
so this is what I'm saying, Matt. They've learned the lesson over the last 2 years. They know they've not done themselves an injustice, so they've got a far better squad, far better quality. They're ready this time. They'll be ready for the qualifiers. They will. Both mentally and physically. They will, and with that bit of quality, certainly with the halfbacks, what they've got.
I want to ask Rugby League away days, because asked us a question, should we model our structure on Scottish footballs? In what sense? Where they play each other all the time, about four times a season, in what sense? And he also asked, does Jordan Lilley have a future at Leeds?
No. Simple as. I can't understand why they give him a free deal. Just cannot understand why they've given him...
I'm not being rude, if he's on peanuts...
We don't know. But you know what? I said it about Gaskell a couple of weeks ago. Jordan Lilley now what I'm saying is, Mark, Jordan Lilley's like Lee Gaskell. He's become so bad of a rugby league player, it's untrue for the quality of what they've got. It is. It's a shame to see him. It's a shame to see him as players as they are, because they are absolute rubbish. They are. They're rubbish. And I can't believe how bad the rugby league players have come.
I know he got injured, only played one game for Lee. It's a shame.
But he's no future Leeds.
Doesn't look like it at the moment.
By the way, viewer, stroke listener, coming up at 8 o'clock live on Facebook, well, not live, but you know what I mean, you can watch in full Workington Town versus the Bradford Bulls.
Hold on, no, because some people might not go.
I don't want to give you a spoiler alert, but it's worth watching till the end.
Pounding.
Paul asks, only 6,000 at Wakefield against a local rival.
Nearly seven.
With a traditional Sunday kickoff time, is that good enough? There's not many more can fit in the ground these days, is there?
Was it a good atmosphere? Was it good? All right.
Yeah.
Leeds took plenty, weren't they?
Yeah.
Took about 1,500 Leeds.
It was great. It was really good. And I think, obviously, the team that loses doesn't feel quite the same about it, but I think we got a game that was above and beyond anything I expected to see, and both teams deserve credit for that.
Very good. Very good. Anything else you want to discuss before we move on? Don't want to be accused of being a Wakefield biased.
We haven't had Scully's parish notes for a while. I was getting slightly concerned.
What do you mean?
He usually comes in with a big list of things he needs to talk about.
People he needs to give a shout out to.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Justin Albrook, he's on my side. Warrington Wolves have...
No, he's not.
You didn't see the handshake on Friday night.
Handshake?
Warrington Wolves have listened from 5 weeks ago when we ran from there, so look where they are. They're in third position now. Leeds just keep going along. You know, Casford from their Hull. Well, you'd say about Hull, the lack of creativity, which Rella's already know about, you know, so I'm sure he's listening to the show and he'll take on board what I'm saying. He'll put Jake Conning to loose forward and start playing like an old-fashioned loose forward from there. So, no, there's not really for me to, I'd say, get ripped in and round, because the bottom five are what we expected, you know, so there's not a lot of quality coming from there. But, yeah, but the big statement, what I've made now for this season, there's only three sides who we're going to contest getting to Manchester on, what is it, October the 13th or something? There's only three sides who we're going to contest getting there, and that's Leeds, St Helens and Wigan. I've not seen enough quality so far from Cass, Hull, Wakefield and Warrington to contest it. So that's the statement I'm making now, after 10 rounds of the Super League.
Hats off to Sheffield.
Go on, then.
Went into Easter desperate for their first victory. Moving into a new facility at the Olympic Legacy Park over the next year or so is going to develop into a decent stadium. Desperately needed to find a win from somewhere, and managed to get two on the bounce on Easter Monday and a 1918 thriller against Swinton yesterday. Suddenly, it looks a little brighter for the Eagles, because they've got the first two wins of the season, and there's a lot of people behind the scenes there that are trying really, really hard.
I thought he was
going to
mention the Cougars going into the top five, Phil, for the first time this year.
Well, Lee,
come on.
All right, we'll mention that in a minute. Huh? Lee are all of a sudden, with the Broncos loss of form.
Sniping up there. Well, you know what Lee have done? The players have realised, you know what, we better start playing, because this is getting embarrassing, you know, and so they've decided to play for the passion for the shirt, they decided to play for the coach, and they decided to realise now that, well, you know what, yeah, we're getting paid quite decent money here. Derek Beaumont is looking after us very well, so we better start doing what we pay to do, and that's being decent quality rugby league players. That's what they're doing. So yeah, they're coming up nicely up that table now, so I guess everybody in that top four, it's beware, the Centurions are coming after you.
Although it does say something, again, about the division, that, yes, they needed to beat London at home because the season would have been dead effectively otherwise, but the two games after that have been teams who are in the lower reach of the table, and the resource...
Well, they've got some big games coming up.
Yeah, this is where you'll see whether Lee are the real deal or not, because there is no disrespect whatsoever to Rochdale, but they cannot play the schedule that they've got on a week-to-week basis and compete.
Fair dues. You mentioned League One. 10 teams within one win of being in the playoffs. Or are either in or within a win of being in the playoffs. It's wide open.
Oh, it is. And it's, again, when it's a league between the league itself. You look one, two, three, four. You look at the you know, bottom four side, forget about them. But the rest of them, yeah, it's... and the same, if you don't turn up week in and week out in that league, forget about the bottom sides from there, but from Oldham upwards, you know, from that league position there...
Oldham this week.
Yeah, tough for us. Good win by Hunslet. You know, we turned Hunslet over last week, which was a good win for ourselves, but it's really a surprise that Hunslet beat Oldham. But that's how competitive it is in League One. If you don't turn up week in and week out with your A game... You know, I know we've said it many, many times, Mark, but if you, in that division, we've said it many times in the Championship, well, it's the same in Super League, any sport, to be honest with you. If you don't turn up with your A game with the right attitude week in and week out, you're going to get turned over. And that's how competitive it is.
And another great crowd at Newcastle. I know we're not talking hundreds and thousands, but to get almost 1,000 for the home game with York is progress. And again, I think, it, you know, York are an attraction in the way they're playing at the moment. They're taking more away fans. But Oldham 544, an established team playing Hunslet, double that almost at Newcastle.
Well, we were at York at, over the Easter period, and I tell you what, it was a great atmosphere there. And the John Flatman and Mark Campbell, Mark doesn't go very often because obviously his commitments, big commitments to Featherstone, but he went to Newcastle yesterday. But John Flatman there, they're doing a great job, and I say the atmosphere there as well, and they're knowing that something's going to be happening from there. In young James Ford, the coach, he plays the game in the right way. He wants his players to express himself, play with that smile on his face, play with that vision awareness. I would imagine all the coaches will be getting a green T-shirt now, you know, with vision and awareness. Just to express themselves. Just to express themselves to the players and say, listen, lads, go out and play what you see with that vision awareness. Good coaches, young Ford. And I'd say York, they are going in the right way, both on and off the field.
Got a young forward called Joe Batchelor, who apparently five Super League teams are monitoring.
Yeah, they're all looking at him, aren't they? They are indeed. A quality player. I tell you what, the Catalans go there on in the Challenge Cup next round. They will have it all their own way. They will not, because of the big pack. Mm-hmm. York, good mobile. I say the half packs are creative, got some pace. It won't be easy for the Catalans. Won't be easy.
York have tweeted.
I fancy York to beat Catalans.
Well, they've tweeted today. Tickets on sale, so get yourself.
I fancy York. That'll be a great atmosphere. I fancy York.
Just last couple of things. So I know it's prediction time. Mike says, what about Faxa's achievement beating full-time London with two of the best players on the pitch? Fresh from Faxa's reserve system. A system which Super League sides still don't use. And, Rugby League away day is talking about Scottish football. It was all about promotion and relegation there. Playoffs where top one goes up, bottom one goes down, but the second bottom in the division above plays the three teams below in a playoff system. So could work in Championship League One and Super League and Championship.
Yeah.
Next change has got to be for 20 years, whatever it is.
Right, that's Scory Band then. 20 years, sorry pal, Phil said. Got to do it. Right.
You'd miss me. You'd miss me.
Would I? Sorry, yeah. I'd what?
You'd miss me.
Phil, when you get earache, do you miss it when you're gone?
Nagging toothache.
Oh, come on. All right, you go on then, Rich.
Rib cartilage.
Toothache, earache. Go on then, Rich, what am I to you?
Oh, what? I don't know. I think I've already insulted you. In this
You're a lift home. He's not going to say anymore.
It's raining.
Phil, can I borrow your pen? Because sadly, looks like a stationary cupboard.
Tell you what, Mr. Wilson, I'm already prepared. I've got them all written down. I had a good week this week with predictions. I think I got them all right.
Ah,
I did.
Right. Not as good as Richard Shaw, right? He got them all right, and two of the.
I think I got two of them right. I certainly got Warrington right. I got 16. Warrington and Salford. I think the 16. The other one, which was a bit.
Anyway, it's boring now. No one's bothered.
Yeah. Anyway, I think I got six. I think I got six out of six. Matt Orton will tell me anyway, yeah. I got 6 out of 6.
Well, I'll listen back to last week's show and I'll no doubt prove that.
Right, so listen, yeah, Widnes and Hull, where I'd say Widnes were their injuries, and I know they're at home from there, but Hull, yeah, even though lack of creativity, but you just feel as though that more quality what the Black and Whites have got. I'm going Hull by 14.
I just don't see how Widnes are going to name a 17 at the moment. If they have got virtually everyone available carrying some sort of a knock, the last thing they want to do is play on a Thursday night, so I cannot look beyond Hull. And that's no detriment to Widnes. I just don't know where they're going to get 17 players from.
Yeah. Rich?
Hull, and hopefully they have a better trip home on the M62 than they probably did on Friday.
Yeah. Fair dues. Leeds Wigan.
Yeah, the mouth-watering, wasn't it? You know, and I say this would be a great atmosphere. Phil, is it all the South Stand open on Friday?
No, I think it's 12,500 capacity, but it'd be full.
Yeah, still 12,500, but yeah, this is always the one what everybody, certainly from Leeds and Wigan fans, look to, who will be travelling over on Friday night. But great comeback by Wigan, but you just feel as though Leeds, and I say they've had a great record over Wigan for the last 5 times at one at Headingley. I think that'll carry on. And we're going to go Leeds to win by 10.
Yeah, I think if Joel Moon's back for Leeds, that'll just give them the enough to score sufficient points, I think, to keep the run going. And they're just very difficult to break down at the moment. And if Wigan start as they did against Catalan, then I'll probably go with Leeds.
All right, what did you say, legend?
Leeds by 10. Oof.
Tricky one, this, isn't it?
You're not going to go Wigan. Don't worry about that.
No, of course I'm going Wigan. And I've put Leeds up the last 3 weeks. I'm going Wigan.
Draw
for Rich.
Leeds drew the other week.
You just can't say it, can
I? Yeah, but that was against...
Warrington Hull Care.
That was against Huddersfield, Rich. Warrington Hull Care, Warrington, yeah, they're in good form, aren't they? They're at home, Hull Care Rovers. Well, they'll find it pretty hard on the road, won't they? And a pretty tough over Easter. Yeah, a booster against Widnes, but Warrington, the way they're going, they're at home. I think Warrington by 24.
Yeah,
I can't see, again, Hull Kingston Rovers getting enough troops back on board. The Easter programme has really, really taken its toll on them, so I will go for a confident Warrington.
Warrington.
Yeah, I have to agree with that one. Elsewhere, we have got Castleford against the Dragons.
Yeah, the Dragons are coming back on the road, aren't they? Castleford Tigers. Yeah, plenty of points against the Giants. Defence a little bit of a concern from there, but still, it's the 2 points for the Tigers. And if it's dry and the weather's okay, I reckon the Tigers are going to put them to the sword, mate. I'm going Castleford by 28.
Phil?
Yeah, I think Darryl Powell needs his team to just put in an 80-minute performance. He's got the perfect opposition to do it against, so I don't think it'll be by maybe that much, but I can't see Cass being beaten at home.
Yeah, it has to be Cass again.
Yeah, we're all... The only difference we've had here is the Wigan-Leeds game. Right, Huddersfield-Salford.
Well, do you know what? I'm going to give Huddersfield one last chance here now, because Salford, for mine, yeah, they... Even though, you know, they're doing all right, they're still a disappointment, really. And I think Huddersfield, they're showing signs of improvement, aren't they, under Foreman? Showing signs of improvement, and they're at home, and Phil has told us a few times that Foreman, he gets ripped in, he has to shout at his players to get reaction. I think there'll be a reaction on Sunday. I think there needs to be a reaction as well at home. I'm going the Giants by 14.
Be interesting to see if Salford have got Matty Russell in by the weekend. I know that they're hoping to have him signed up by then. He could make a difference, just give him, again, that extra pace, allow him to put Louis at standoff. And if they do, then I think Salford might just take it.
Yeah, I'm going to go against Huddersfield as well, go with Salford.
Yeah, I am as well.
You're going for Salford?
I am. I think Salford will win. Gary, that's why I'm going for them. Wakefield against St Helens.
Well, St Helens, yeah, the best side in Super League, aren't they? The league position doesn't tell lies, and I say the quality of what they've got. Wakefield, well, what Wakefield got to do? Well, yeah, well, we're only losing by 2, we're only losing by 4. Listen, fellas, you've got to stop feeling sorry for yourself. You've got to put an 80-minute performance in, because that's what you've got to do against Saints. But I just feel as though the quality of what they've got, playing too well. All right, Roby will be a loss, but got too much quality. Everybody is in form. I'm going St Helens by 14.
Be interesting to see if Saints Justin Holbrook makes any changes, because I think he only made 2 over the entire 3 games of Easter, which is incredible when you think about it. We talk about the duress the players are put under, and he's not changing his team. Is he going to make some changes this week? Is he going to find some tired bodies? Is the loss of Roby and Alex Walmsley going to catch up with Saints? I'm just going to go with Wakefield on the basis of the fact that I think their season's on the line. I think if they've got any pretensions at all about at least making the six,
Phil Kaplan,
they
you
have
are,
to win
Phil
this game.
Phil Kaplan, you are a smart journalist. Why
they
are you
have
going,
to win
how
this
could
game.
You go for Wales against St
Helens?
Hey, have to win this
Phil,
game.
You're a smart rugby league cookie.
I think.
How can you go
I
for Wakefield to beat Saints?
Because I think they'll have Grix and Finn back. I think it's all on the line. And if they don't beat St Helens, then I just think the season peters out.
You're bonkers, Phil Kaplan.
I think you said that about Toulouse and London. I don't know if we've mentioned that yet.
No, move on, move on.
Craig Murdoch said he was flabbergasted that I went against Wakefield with Leeds yesterday at St Helens.
St Helens?
Got to keep this run going.
I'm going for Wakey. Go on, the Wakey.
why are you going for Wakefield against Saints? Oh, the best side, easy. In the competition.
Yeah. Fair dues. I think Wakefield will ask him more questions than a lot of other teams have. And I think that might just put them under pressure. And
certainly more than Holden.
I know Barber didn't play the other night, but you take out Wormsley, you take out Roby. That takes some finding. That Roby not playing is as good as 6 points for me. I'm having Wakefield.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Are the Cougars going to get on against Oldham? We'll have this as a tiebreak. Oldham v the Cougars.
Yeah, well, in the pre-season game, and yeah, what a different side now. We've got, you know, pre-season to just trying some players from there. But this is a test for us. This will be a test of our character, test of the consistency. Oldham and a decent side, but surprise loss to Hunslet yesterday. So if we show the form what we have shown over the last two games, all right, against Helmond, it's been some nice touches, but it's all about the character. We show the right character and attitude. Yeah, we'll beat Oldham at the weekend, and it's going to be the Cougars. It's going to be the Cougars by seven.
Phil?
I have absolutely no idea. I've
seen,
well, I've seen neither
the
of these teams play.
Oh, come on.
So Oldham, obviously.
Oldham, yeah, good man.
Well, they were spirited against the Bulls, weren't they? You don't know if that's because they're playing against the big cash cow.
This week, didn't
cash
they?
Cow of League One. Or cash bull. Yeah, I'll go with Keithley.
Keithley?
Yeah.
I'll go for Oldham.
Cougars. Can't beat them.
Do you know what, you two you two are bonkers. Absolute bonkers, the pair of you.
I mean, I haven't got a clue. I should have just said draw or something.
Honestly.
Well, could be.
Go on, I've got a draw.
Draw?
You can't have two draws.
Yeah. You bet he can.
Hey, listen, fellas, we're supposed to be experts on rugby league.
No. Trace descriptions are at the door.
Listen, let's be serious here. Listen, we're supposed to be experts on rugby league.
No.
Come on.
Our
listeners respect us. They respect our views. They respect our predictions. They respect our vision on the game.
I don't think respect's
the
right word.
What, 3 years? Well, how long have we been on Facebook? 2 years?
Something like
probably
that.
About 100,000 interactions. Not one of them has mentioned having any respect for us.
No, not one. Of course. Yeah. Somebody will tweet you now, they respect the proper sport team. Of course they do. Comments you two lads and the predictions you've just made the last 2 minutes, you've blown it. That's why you've blown it.
The problem is we only get to see, like, one League One game a week, maybe.
Yeah. If we're allowed.
You should get out more.
Shut up. Gotta work.
Proper Sport Rugby League, or Proper Rugby League, is brought to you by Pontefract Racecourse, who hosts their third annual Rugby League evening on Monday the 11th of June. Meet the players, coaches from Castleford Tigers, Wakefield Trinity, Huddersfield Giants and Featherstone Rovers, who will all be coming along. There's a great night of racing on offer. Six top quality races, including the Mr. Wolf Sprint, which commemorates one of the all-time Ponty greats. Bring your season ticket along and get grandstand and paddock entry to Pontefract's Rugby League evening for just £5. Or with VIP tickets at £42 for adults and £10 for children, it's a perfect chance to get up close to your Rugby League favourites. We'll be there as well. Head over for more details. Also book your tickets to pontefract-races.co.uk. It should be a great night. Generally, as we've been the last couple, it's been absolutely brilliant. We hope to see you down there as well. Go on, then.
Mark says, I respect the Proper Sport team, except Scully.
Fair.
Who does Mark support?
I respect Mark.
Respect Mark greatly. He speaks the truth.
It's from Cass, so I'm going to guess it's them.
And Jennifer's going, Oldham win, Aidy goes Cougars all the way. So it's split. The split. We'll find out next Monday night.
We will indeed.
We've got live rugby. We're off to witness to see Hull win, according to our tips on Thursday. And we've got a game on Friday. It's Leeds Wigan. And then on Sunday, assuming the Bulls don't complain, we will be filming and broadcasting the Bulls against Coventry. We will see you there. Please download the podcast. Thanks to Gary. Thanks to Phil. Thanks to Richard. Thanks to you for listening. We'll see you next week.